Welcome. Let's go around the room and introduce ourselves.
I'm Linda Alderman, Secretary of Reservation Clerk.
Paul Brink.
Turley Akers.
Dave Turley.
Dale Clarkson.
Ben Clarkson.
Dirk Clarkson.
Robert Allen.
Larry Bear.
And Shauna Cox will be here in about 45 minutes. And
Kathy Duvall is on her way.
Kathy Duvall will be coming. Mr. Dave Turley, will you give us an opening remark?
We have to. Dear Father in Court in Heaven, we're great to be gathered here. We pray that we will be inspired and prompted into what we do and decide to make Deer Springs a better place as a community and as a destination. We're very grateful for the opportunity to serve. Say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
We should have Ben screen up on the Polycom.
Very good. Okay, meeting minutes, approval of the meeting minutes for the last board. I assume these are the same as what you emailed out.
They are.
So I entertain a motion to approve those. Motion to approve is our second. I will second. Any discussion on them? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
I will abstain because of the errors as well.
Would you like to suggest correction to them? Okay. Moving on then. Areas of responsibility, we'll kind of get that in the main thing, financial report later.
You have the financial report in front of you. For the most part, our numbers are showing that we are a little over halfway through the year with most of the expense. There are some projects that have gone over, but we also haven't spent money on other projects. And so we are not in any dire straits. As you look at those, if you have any questions, hey, I'm sorry. We can pass those to the people where you would be sitting.
Anybody else here about some?
Under the project, the comfort station is taking about $3,600 to finish that. The yard improvements, we spent $1,000 on that, and for the fencing, $1,100. There's been $1,100 on other headquarters improvements as well. The total on that has come to their headquarters and improvements is $6,000. So, the other projects. I'm sorry, I'm reading that wrong. But our total projects are $10,000, and there's still others to go. So, $20-foot container, $3,900, ended up being more than what we had planned on.
Do you have the ability to tell us any more detail on this?
On which?
On the expenses side, like the, I think we talked about last meeting, not just giving us a summary, but the...
Well, I expanded expanded the information that you wanted?
It's not on here.
Not on the budget versus actual?
Yeah, we just have, I think the detailed one's like a 4-page report.
Okay.
So, for example, this says projects, but it doesn't have broken out which projects.
It's more detailed than the one you had last time. But,
yeah, see if for the future there's
an
expanded one. It's a 4-page report.
Okay.
And that will show us, it's not as expanded as this, where we see every transaction, but it shows every line item. So, this still is definitely not what we're looking for, because this just shows the, is basically the check race for transaction receipts. We need what it's called a profit and loss detail report.
Profit and loss budget versus actual? Is that what you're asking for?
Yes. Yeah.
Hi, Kathy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Grab that down. Let's see if it shows up. I can run that one. So, we don't. Yeah, but see, that doesn't show. It's not the budget. It just shows the transactions. So, go back to the main reports. Cancel on that. Well, hold on a second. Company financial, there you go. Profit and loss. I look at the standard even above it. Will even give us the profit loss.
That's the detail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Up to the top. And so that's it. Not sure it's the budget, however, at all.
Nope.
So. Let me play with it while we talk.
Over here, sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Any other questions on the financial? I'm going to try to find. I think we need to see the detail of those projects. What we.
And if you could, would it be nice if that were emailed each of us?
Well, it should be the standard report, and I promise that's what we were getting. We weren't getting this one-page summary. It was a full-page report.
You want to match it up, correct?
Yeah.
It should just be that budget versus actual and then expanded. This is not just what. Let's see what you gave out. This is what you gave out in April. So it is profit loss, budget versus actual, January through April, but then it has all the details. So 1, 2, 3, 4 pages.
Right.
So you have. Projects, for example, instead of one, then you've got all these projects. You can see how much in each project. It should just be able to do the class expand,
wouldn't it?
Right there, it's the class. Well, you do it by month.
One knowledge here, at least my concern is.
Doesn't that? So that's on the inside. And that's next. If you want to hear yours, you just watch that. Just a fine clock.
That
goes over top.
Okay.
It can't be washed out.
So did we have that?
Now you can change it to the suspension by 8 o'clock colder. No, you don't want to have a small one, but it's expanded now.
Alright.
So let's have all of it. So expenses, project.
That's what we want.
That's what we need. If you click, you can click collapse, and it'll go down to one page.
Yeah.
And that's when we
need it. But it doesn't just bring it down. If you drop and drag it, Linda.
So you don't have the way to print this here.
But the dish shoulder to class.
You can add to the email now. Okay, so.
So, I can price to
email that to us.
If you hit that collapse button right there, it will collapse and then hit it. And then next time you won't see collapse, it'll say expand. What you did was you collapsed it. That's the only difference. You collapsed and all the other. It needs to be expanded. So I think, you can hit that cloud, you'll see the difference. You can drag those columns so it is smaller, but it's still all the information.
Okay.
And when you email that.
Which email should I send yours to, Dale? Which email should I send yours to?
I thought you were going to print
I can't print today. I can print one out tonight. I'll get to you tomorrow.
That's what I suggested, that if you have a full page.
Just send it to Dirk and I are the only ones who can see it in this meeting.
Okay. Oh, in this meeting.
Yeah.
That's why I'm waiting.
Sorry. Hello, Ken. Your box is right there on the table.
Because I think it's critical, Dirk, as you mentioned, what makes up these numbers. It's not visible to us.
Would that report I gave you help him?
I'll pass this down. Yeah, you and Jody can look at it and you can tell why they're sending us a corrected thing. Doesn't make sense to me.
Have you received it? It's not a secure network, so I don't know if that would make a difference.
Yeah, it may not be done, but let's just have you read off some of these.
Okay.
So you got on the screen now.
I do.
Go down to the expense side.
In the top, or,
On the side, well, you're going to go down to the income side, go to the expense side.
Correct.
So down where it says, probably the first one, roads. Is there some detail in that one? Some subcategories?
Road grading, no, we have the contract services. That was Larry's work for $30,700. And the only other thing we have here is the culverts that were purchased. No, this is the $72 for that collar for the culverts.
Okay, I've got it now.
Did you? Okay.
So,
usually take these zeros out for you at Ben's request. Sorry, that was set with zeros in it.
Yeah, it's still even if you have a report. You just showed the $3,700 in roads, contract service.
That's Larry's work.
What I'm trying to look at is what's remaining and what that's spoken for, because we're going to need to make some decisions tonight.
Okay.
Well, there was 4,000 in road grading that haven't been used. There's 500 in BLM right-of-way miscellaneous, which we were, impounding for the Title V.
Right.
There's $5,000 in contract services, which we spent $3,700. And then there was $3,000 budgeted.
Yeah, for one other reason, this is in the bank show.
We purchased some culverts.
$3,000 budgeted for culverts, and we spent $72.24, it says.
Thank God.
That's 7,000.
What's that?
72,000.
72.
This is a collar bill.
Yeah, it'd be $72.
$72.24. I don't know if that was.
We purchased.
Well, I purchased that because I thought that 53.5-inch culvert that was in Podunk would have just taken the collar, but it's...
Oh, so it's a collar that we bought for
low coupling and bolt on.
Okay, so the first one here, roads, is $12,500.
Right.
We spent $3,700.
Right.
And out of that, we had road grading, $4,000, and culverts, $3,000.
Right.
So we have $7,000 and another $1,000, so we've got $8,000 there. That's really pretty open that we haven't committed to, right? And we'll want to keep that in mind when we get into our road discussion. So that's all open. We'll put here. Okay, the next category down: wildlife, agriculture.
$8,100, and it says we spent $3,747.
Yeah, and so
15 of that was on fish and supplies, 800 was on fencing supplies, We haven't done anything with, we have the $700, I believe that was CD, I'll check on that.
So the majority of this that is left over is for fencing. Almost all of that, $1,500.
Right.
Okay.
What's been committed to Butlin?
I think that was mainly what we said would be supplies for things that you, the wood and the materials and panels and things like that. So
we committed $7,000 to Butlin in under project.
Yeah, that's a general contract fencing was separate from fencing because it was considered a project.
Well, that.
So I think we can probably have some flexibility since Paul probably spent less than that and has got further than we anticipated with what's being done, but that's at least for fencing, so we've got that.
We've had three separate areas for fencing that you had designated the project, two projects, one at the headquarters, one for Taylor Button, and another for his work that he was doing around the ranch.
So let's look at the project section next, which we have $20,000. Still available and see what those are supposed to be for.
Well, $7,000 to fencing, hasn't none of it been spent. Fencing around metal. And you're saying now we've got a bid or something for $7,500?
No, we have no problem. Taylor will spend $20,000 on fencing, but we've just done the fencing, so we need to kind of decide how much we're.
We had $900 for solar power, which hasn't been used. We had.
Well, that did get used then.
For what? Solar power.
So the solar panels that they got were for the well, so it's designated to the well. That's underwater resources.
So this was for one of the.
This was to put on one of the cabins to as an experiment. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then we had $1,500 for paint upper cabins that's not being used.
Right.
20-foot container, we put $1,000 in and we spent $4,000, so we're three over.
Right.
Finish head gates, we had $2,000 and none of that's been spent. We had $2,000 in cabin doors.
It's $1,000 in cabin doors.
$1,000.
We sent out with, but some of that was designated to the bunkhouse remodel that the doors that we purchased. Well, Kathy knows about that one.
$1,000 for barn restoration has not been spent, or posted at least. And then a total of $10,500 to the headquarters, six of which has been spent. $2,000 the trees and watering system is still zero. Remodel the bunkhouse, we've budgeted $1,000. We've spent $3,600, so that's gone over.
However, you're saying this $1,000 should have been in that too, this upper $1,000 for cabin doors?
No, the doors that were bought were for the bunkhouse, but then they bought some for also for the garden cabin.
Right.
The $1,000 above was for doors that were other doors that were needed, like on cabin 6 and cabin 9. That was what that $1,000 was for.
Well, if we spent them on the garden cabin, that probably would have been
cabin 8.
I don't know. I guess the point being, we're $2,600 over on that one. And we haven't used any on the $1,000. So in effect, we probably used the doors.
You want to transfer that down?
Transfer it down and use it as a cabin door. Are we doing any more cabin doors this year, or are we done with the
I'd like to do the doors on the garden cabin, but I mean, it's not.
I mean, you say you've already bought those?
We purchased them, but for, I don't know, whatever reason, they're the wrong doors. They sent us the wrong.
The size of them?
Yeah.
Yeah, slab doors instead of pre-made.
When we talked about that last month, has that been corrected?
We're in the process of seeing if we can take them back. Those were kind of customized doors that they made. They might not take them back.
Well, that's one we need to get back on. Those ones that you were involved in getting, so whatever, I don't know where we are, but
yeah, it worked perfect. They showed up, nice doors, but I mean, it's, there's one of them that I could probably squeeze in there, but I have to do some chiseling. And,
well, with, I mean, if we're, again, we can't waste money, but if we're going to do it, we got to do it right. We don't want to chisel it and try to stick them in there, and then they stick and don't open and close correctly every time. Yeah.
I've racked my brain trying to get these doors in there.
They're measured to be pre-hung. They came flat.
So can we take them back and have them hung? Or can they just do frames?
No, because when they had a measurement, that was the rough opening. They put a door that big. They need the door to be 2 inches smaller than that, so that, you know, that was including the jams and everything.
Well, I'll bet you we could probably send them back and get pre-hung. You're only talking half inch on both sides all the way around. Except for the threshold, it would be the difference.
But I thought that that was going to be done this last month. Yeah. Okay, we talked about seriously a month ago.
Well, it's not because it wasn't tried yet. We tried, we worked on it real hard at one time too. And
yeah, but a minute, if they don't fit.
No. Are we going to turn it?
It'll be.
You'll have to trip 1 month, so you're certainly going to take them back.
Yeah, it's been a month.
Are they the ones that they ship down, or are we going to
drop them down? Yeah. Let me have Mike get back on that. He's the one who ordered them.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, the door should be covered stuff.
Where is their country from, Dave? Springville, PL, or PL?
CR.
What was the price of the doors and how many of them were?
I think it came out close to 800, something around there, if I remember right.
And they charged hung prices, they didn't charge flat prices. I mean, it was money.
Yeah, this is flat door, different than the
door. I'll be honest with you, if I can send them back, that'd be great. Because the two doors that I bought for the bunkhouse or for the comfort stop, those are the doors that we need to get. Pre-hung,
metal doors.
Some of them have the window. I mean, those are the doors to get. And I think all three of the ones in the garden cabin are a 30-inch door. And I'll have to go and measure cabin 6.
Do you have the capacity to take them back with you?
Yeah.
That would not be hard by midnight, but,
this trip next year. They're very nice, so it seems like they should be able to reach, I mean, if they're stocking doors or whatever, let's just get them back up there.
They were really nice when I
get a credit or whatever. Again, they're maybe going to want to trace it out and then you get the door instead of just giving us a check back so you can go and buy it. But that was what we were trying to do, is get matching doors, get on a door system, so eventually all
the doors that I bought from the customer stop were from Lowe's. And it's the same door that's on the store, the same door. So it's all matching.
Okay, good. So the other things that we've got there, we've got, like I said, trees and watering system, $2,000 has been spent, and maybe we probably shouldn't spend that since we overspent on the other, unless anybody sees a compelling need to spend that. So I would kind of call that King's X. Yard improvements, $4,500. We've spent $1,010. So we've got $3,490 there, and probably some of our over budget on the bunkhouse needs to come out of that. So that would probably take us down to about $1,000 available for that.
Well, they're hanging when you, you know, overall headquarters improvement, including the bunkhouse bath and the yard group. We had $10,500 and we spent $6,000. So we have $3,500 left, right?
Right.
Fine. What else do we need to do there to finish up the comfort stop as top priority so that it's done?
Basically, I have all the materials. Tiles, the last step. But had the tile. I mean, we traded all the tile for with Kathy Pierce. Yeah, I have all the trim pieces to go up. It's ready to go. It's just some time.
So kind of bear that in mind. We've got another 3,000-ish that could go to.
What is the priority?
Gates.
Need mud for that, right?
No, I have everything ready to go. Basically, what I wanted to do is in the fall, start working on some vents again in headquarters when the upper cabins are closed and things up top are done. That's always a project that we can bump out till next spring if we need the funds for something else. But I haven't planned on doing more vents around headquarters until fall.
What is it going to cost you to put that preserver on it? What do we need about that?
Linseed oil. I don't know how much linseed oil costs. Anybody know?
You had pre-priced linseed oil on the fence.
If you get it in the 5-gallon barrel,
it'll be a few $100, but it's not.
Yeah. I don't plan on spending all that much around headquarters.
This is just the top to go right on top of the rails or the posts or the whole thing?
Yeah.
Just to coat them.
I think I have the backpack sprayer. Brent Palmer said that would be the best way to put that on.
We don't use linseed oil anymore, which shingles we use in shingle oil. It's less expensive and it's better.
Okay.
So just that's an option. Yeah. I buy it. It's a mobile product.
Is this something that needs to be done annually? Or?
It depends on your budget. Some people never do it at all. Other people do it yearly or every other year or something. It just depends on your budget. I don't know.
You're talking a backpack weed sprayer?
Yeah. Oh, it's used for concrete. I think it has some diesel fuel in it.
One of the things that, I use in those pump sprayers you buy for $10 that when you're done, you trash it.
Right.
It'll burn up the O-ring and stuff, yeah. So it's a throwaway. So if it's a backpack, it's already had diesel fuel in it. It just may ruin it.
You're right. There's two or three of those pump sprayers. Around
just to use some of those old ones that are halfway through their life anyway, and then it'll dump them up and trash them.
Other than that, there was a couple things I wanted to do with the park, but I don't know. I think that's kind of above our budget for this year, something I'd like to do next year.
And some of this money was also to help with the corral fencing and stuff like that. So.
Right.
Which I think you will still be using some season lines time.
Right.
You have time to work on that.
For the improvement, what you've done the last year, and as nice as it was, I think to continue the rough cut fencing like you're planning, and if we can get some trees started this fall, not maybe, if we're going to do it, I'd rather do it this fall than next spring, just so that they. Come out next spring and grow. If not, if we put them in next spring, then they won't grow at all next
year. Now
they're 50% off of honey. Well, a lot of them we can even get, cheaper there. It's a matter of getting at least a drip system so that there you can water. We can find those trees.
What I did when I put in those valves over by the barn, I put the hydrant there. I stubbed out for future water service.
Some of it. For the little half-inch rolled drip line and have it, it's cheap enough. And even in that area, if we got 10 trees that were getting consistent water that went in September or October this year, so they came out and got some growth next year, and then keep them protected from the livestock.
What are you talking about doing?
Like anywhere.
If you look at the two cedar or the juniper trees, the one... where the goats, I only have the goats, those two trees are going to die.
Yeah.
The one tree on the south side, it's almost a fire hazard, but that tree's going to die. Some trees along with the fence in the park, and, back, I don't know, maybe as far as where the equipment is back in there, but, we need some trees somewhere in the park.
I don't care where, somewhere just so they have some shade. The only other thing I'm happy to have, I don't input, but if anybody disagrees, but that tree where I know when you talk about the cedar tree that's always been in the middle of the yard that's been barked and is dying, even if it dies, I'd like to see it stay there for 30 years for a place for the hawks to land in, and it's out in the middle of nowhere. I'm not worried about it being a fire hazard or anything, but that's my
I like those old skeleton trees as much as anything.
As long as we don't make it a shoe tree. Have you seen those?
Yeah.
Well, we have a tree if you want. It's difficult to remember.
Something that'll survive out there. Well, I've tried.
Shade trees.
I've tried a few things, but some big shade trees. Yeah. And that'll grow over the year.
Probably have to start with some hybrid properties in spring. And they do that around there. The poplars you got in the main yard, they suffer too much.
Yeah.
But the hybrids usually don't give you much suffering, and I'll have started them in the spring again. And if you don't have too bad of winter, sometimes you can, it's like you said, getting started in the fall, and the roots will develop a little bit better, but I put some hybrids along the outside of one of my fences on poplars, and they're about 10 feet tall now, and I can severe will eat some of the leaves and so on, longhorns and so around, but I just put a piece of steel fencing around them, kind of spatially protect them. I've got some starts of those coming to the planting. You can take the cuttings on the poplar, put them in water. And, well, I don't need water. I just find the ground water and then they've got the root systems. So, and they grow, and they do. I've got a couple up there in my place that are doing pretty good. You're going to have trouble with anything up there. The sapsucker, which is a little woodpecker. Those are drill holes, and they're called sapsuckers. They'll make the holes like someone drilled, and then they come back and drink the sap. And they'll affect those trees as well as your crystal structure. But once you get them past the stage where they kill the whole thing off, they might take a limb off once in a while.
Well, I agree with you, Ben. I mean, planting trees now, 10 years down the road, we're going to be thanking ourselves.
Yeah.
For the shade.
But you just need to protect them with something to keep livestock. Goats are quite the easier, but they'll chew on anything.
Why don't you develop the plan? And
I'll get with Ben.
Yeah. Where they should be, what size we need. Some of these areas, like around the body parts and stuff, I would like to buy some bigger trees off with something decent. And some of the other areas where we're trying to work fence lines and stuff, we can maybe work with Larry and get something that will start off smaller but still be good in a few years.
Was there talk about transplanting some oaks at all?
We were talking about some up there, like the 40,000-pound water tank, where it overflows and stuff. Some of those that we talked about up to above Half Moon where we cut them back from the road. If we had a backbone, just took a couple of scoops here and there and pulled them down. As long as we kept some water on them, they would, they would grow and hike to the bottom end of that 40,000-gallon tank and a few of those things. And help protect it from the wind in the winter and freezing. That was one area we had talked about. So,
let's look at this next. We just have three more sections to go down. Water resources, we won't look at the detail in that because we spent all but $400 of that. So, it's pretty well disappeared.
This report will tell us what that was spent for?
Yes. Yep.
Water training was $500 basically. Lower water rights was $1,100. Study on the spring, $2,100. The water systems, let me pull up a detail on that. That included the solar controllers, the generator, maintenance. We had solar pumps for that. Those three Schultz and that we talked about are in on that. I don't know what that is. Water tests that are done over at Southern Utah University. That's what the water systems and then other various plumbing and things like that that needed to be worked on. Water catchments was $39.95. That was the work that Lamb did.
Clarksville.
Yeah, $24,000 basically. And then $425,000, that's where the culverts went. No, Rural Water Association, that's what the $425,000 is. So.
Annual dues?
Yes.
Buildings and facilities, we have $11,000 remaining there. And out of it, cabin maintenance has $3,000 left. So that's what we can do, some discretion on more doors for individual cabins or whatever would need to be done in cabins. So another $3,000 available there. Cleaning supplies, we're a little bit over on. Gasoline, we've got another.
But they're stopped for the year on that. That's what they did, is they stopped up front. So.
Gasoline, we have another $3,000 left for the year.
We usually order that in the fall.
Laundry, we have some left there, about $1,000.
Yeah, my cover.
Propane, we have $2,000 left, so that's probably going to be tight. Store supplies, we have $1,000 left. And telephone, we have $1,000 left. And tools,
we're over budget on that.
Used 1,600 more than we budgeted. However, tractor grader repairs were under by more than that amount. So we probably have an extra $1,000 kind of still there to use. And
as far as tractor repairs?
Yeah. So that kind of gives us a feel, I think, of the budget. Next month we'll start getting these expanded printouts so we can.
Hey, will you email that to me?
See that in detail. And, okay, any other questions on the financing?
I think one, just a summary. We're 25% down on our collections, and in a half year, we're 5 or 6% over. So those, I think, should be big red flags for us to see that we're headed for some.
Yeah, that's our point. I if we have bill tied to our budget, which is going to be difficult to do, just to stay within our budget. We're still $42,000 short of our budget for what we figured for collections. And some of that will probably trickle in, but I'm very nervous that we're going to be.
No, let's look at this real quick. We should have had $2,000 from building and facility rent income. Do we know where, why, or? Where that usually comes from?
I think last year you set the bar kind of high. We brought in $4,000 last year, I believe, in cabin rentals. I think we set that high because of that, and it's still, you know, we're there's no reservations through.
We've got 2 months here that are really light on reservations.
Right. But there's still people come in, from wherever.
But we have not a penny received so far.
No.
Well, there's $750 down in miscellaneous income, which I'm pretty sure is money that I turned in from the photo shoot.
Yes.
Which, again, was building a facility rent. I mean, a lot of that was kind of just to use the property and being there on the airstrip. So, I would move that in there just so we don't have an income we budget, no income, and then income that we didn't budget for. I mean, really, they're the same. I wouldn't call it miscellaneous income, Linda. I would move that $750 up there.
The buildings, facility rent.
I think you put miscellaneous on the paper you gave me, but let me I played with this morning. What is under that is film location and the work that he did. There's another file here. I'm just looking if I can. This is something I corrected actually this morning before the meeting, but I had already printed those out.
Nice.
Well, you can just double click on that and leave that 750 and post it to building facility rental income. That was the location fee.
Okay, then so when, like for instance, we have hunters in this spring, that should go to that building and facility rent also.
I think
that's what I was thinking.
We have a wildlife.
The usage fee, and that's where it's under is the wildlife.
Right, and that's fine.
But the concept got
we just don't want anything under miscellaneous if we can help it.
Because anybody look at miscellaneous, nobody's going to know what that 750 miscellaneous is.
No, I totally agree. And the wildlife people that are coming in, are they renting cabins? So why don't you put that in?
Yeah, the fee that,
and the fee that they pay because of, we know how much is really coming on wildlife.
The fee that they pay for a trespass fee to hunt should go on wildlife, but the cabin rental that they rent should go under building and facility.
It's under a cabin rent. I'm trying to find it here.
Is there another one? All right, down under livestock income, we haven't received anything from grazing yet.
There's a check in your box for $4,000.
Today?
Yes.
So that will pan out.
And that will be more than that. I think it's $10,000 this year.
Right. So that shouldn't be a problem. Sale of gasoline.
Oh, have it. It's here.
We haven't sold much gas like we usually have, or donations. We always have a little tractor work income. We always have a little. That $100 is stuff that I paid.
There's $1,700 in cabin rentals.
Right.
Did you find it?
Well, it's on here, and I don't know why we have a cabin rental. It's the third one from the bottom.
Right. 1740.
Buildings, facilities.
Well, like the 750 I paid, that was not cabin rental. It was location
exactly.
fee that we, you know, it was location fee.
Well, yeah. Right, but when we budgeted $2,000, we didn't budget for a movie crew.
No, but what were you thinking? Well, the motorcycle race or any of those usually always goes, you know, they just pay some kind of fee for use of the ranch.
We're just wondering why we have two different ones.
Yeah, it sounds like there's three different ones.
Do we rent anything out besides the cabin? Any building?
No.
No, but if somebody says, hey, well, we'll pay a fee just to come up and camp and use the association grounds, every year we've had either a motorcycle race or a film crew or a convention that just came up and camped and paid some fee. So I think that the building facility rent income should be great. But it's just miscellaneous use of the association property. But it is separate from the cabin. So
right.
I do think those should be separate.
And I agree.
So if we just move that miscellaneous income 750 up into building facility, then that will...
Okay.
Take care of that. Other major amounts in wildlife income, $3,900. We collected $400. We still expect the big pond spot check
right,
this year.
Right, that's for that.
So that'll take care of itself. $1,500 we budgeted for Friday night cookouts, and we've made $500.
Well, we also have that. We also have the Olympic thing coming up, too.
So, but this is the same thing that I don't know if we're doing better on our accounting or not, but this says we've brought in $544 on Friday night cookouts, and we've spent $591 on Friday night.
Yeah,
cookouts.
I circled that too. I don't.
We've got a this is going on the third year that either our accounting is not getting communicated, or we're losing money year after year on Friday night cookouts.
Not losing money on Friday night cookouts. That hasn't. There's expenses on that.
I mean, I know there's a lag between the stuff that you're spending,
and
supplies,
we just did
more
in July.
Yeah. So that some of that may be in there, but we're still a third of what we thought we were bringing in. So,
are the Friday night cookouts and are the people coming?
Yeah,
significant.
Yeah,
is the money?
Well, Henry has it all written down. That receipt book that we made up last year. She's got what she spent.
Can you circle that and go that way?
Yeah,
so you can double check with her figures on the cookout. And
at $10 a plate, $540 is 54 people that has attended. So.
Okay.
But that's still only 10 people for 5 nights.
which to me isn't worth doing if that's really all we're giving
people per site.
Well, I think we talked about this when we did our budget. We talked like, okay, we're going to do it and understand that we're not going to make a ton of money.
So that's it. I mean, if we've had five Friday nights in the season, which is about right, June in the first week in July, really, and if there's 10 people that came down and stuff, and again, being up there, you know, with the film crew, it definitely is a different, I thought, different side of the experience that I know that Jody and Kathy DeVall, you know, some of you guys have said, you know, being around up there and stuff, it's a neat thing that makes the experience. I think that I even if we make nothing on it, we need to continue with it until it gets to the point people plan on it, don't bring food, and expect it that night, then it will be something that will be an income generator and definitely enhance the experience of staying at the ranch.
Is 4th of July weekend there or not in there yet? The income on it. Okay, that's just for June. Yeah. Well, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, Friday night we had 30 people over there.
Okay, income, interest income, we budgeted $5,000. I guess that's from delinquent dues.
Yes.
Okay, we haven't collected as much. Cabin rental, we plan on $1,300, and we've got $1,700, so that's good. Reservation fees, we plan on $4,000, and we've got $2,000.
We eliminated them.
Mm-hmm. We did what?
Did eliminate them.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
We did away with them.
The reservation?
No, we don't.
No, we don't.
We still have $25
reservation.
$25
reservation.
Yeah.
It's edited.
And then assessment paid. We're definitely down on our collection is the big one.
Yes. And so, Linda, you've sent out first and second quarter statements.
Yeah, we sent in this last month, except the quarter.
Second quarter, and so
the collective sum.
Probably the third quarter needs to go out with some letters from us.
Well, the third quarter, the next invoice should go out with the annual meeting. You know, when we're doing it month, the annual meeting should be in the same envelope just so we don't waste postage, and maybe a letter to go saying, you know, they can't. You know, vote or participate without.
I have that letter on file.
So we'll probably get some more by the end of the meeting we always do. So hopefully that'll balance out. So at least 10 of the, or at least 20 of the 42,000, I think we can see where it will come from. But we may still end up as much as 20,000 short. And we didn't pack that much in. If you look at our balance sheet, we still have 40,000 in cash. And so that we're going to need a lot of that to get through the winter. So we just need to be very careful.
How much is our propane usually?
Last year, I believe it was 12,000, but that's because we filled everything twice.
Before winter?
Right before winter.
We'll probably do the same.
Well, we don't have to. What we could do is what we did the year before was fill the lower cabins in the fall, and then come spring on the new budget, fill the upper cabins.
There's also some discussion on that, too. Getting the truck up there in the spring is sometimes difficult, so we are making sure that there is enough propane in the tanks to start the cabin.
Right. I think so.
But you were saying not to fill them, I think, because you
worry
about
leaking.
Bleed off. Yeah.
Yeah, I just worry about some of those that are sitting there for 6-7 months.
Yeah.
And if we don't have that valve shut off, even with that, you know, the tanks, they could sit there and be losing $100 a year out of each tank.
Right.
You know,
I think that's a good point.
I mean, if we shut them off and maybe even disconnect them.
Well, I always shut them off. They told me not to, but I shut them off.
Why would
you
tell
you not? When you shut it off, the gas goes out of every valve. And so there's, you know, these rubber gaskets that are sitting there dry. They crack. And when you go to turn back on, you have gaskets that are cracked. Mm-hmm.
James, anything else on item four? Item five, Jody, if you can walk us through all the items in this section.
Sure, I'm going to turn it over to Paul. There's been some discussions about the road over to Togunk and that the culvert there is probably dismantling itself. So Paul sent around an email for that, and he's got pictures with him.
And I think that's item G on here. Item one or two.
The Johnny Brown.
Yeah.
A couple of things just on roads. And I took some pictures. As you guys know, I went down to Phoenix last year and picked up a ton of culverts, 15, 18 inches, 12 inch, 10 inch. Phil Hall did a lot of work up in Crawford, kind of on his own. Said he donated his time and some culverts to the ranch. He, in some areas up there, he's put in some big 36 inch culverts, 24 inch culverts. And just as a good faith trade, I gave him three of the, I think they were 12-inch culverts that we had just shipped in the yard there that are still going to go on ranch roads, but it was kind of a trade for him. He's done a lot of work up there, and that's just, we still have quite a few culverts left. But I don't know. Big corrugated steel culverts, 20 footers. Some of those culverts going up through Crawford are too small for the amount of runoff that comes off that hill. Not just runoff, but flood water. And back on the back side of Crawford, going down from, what's his name, 100, Fred Searle's place, that steep road that goes up the hill and then down into Fred's, that hill was pretty steep, and it kind of collapsed, fell down onto the road, and we had some work done up there with Alan Steve's back, a lot of us up there. There a couple pictures there. If you go forward, you'll see that the cattle guard's in. Along with drift fence. And the way we had it installed, I bought six 2x2x6 foot concrete blocks from Western Rock. I think they're $40 a piece. It was a good idea to put that in the ground and put the cattle down on cattle guard. I don't think it's going to go anywhere. But
so the green panel is just timber on either side?
Probably going to get some element on weld it, build something for both sides to come out and then run fence originally.
It's a good cattle guard there.
It's not going anywhere. I don't know if you heard, but I bought six 2x2x6 foot concrete blocks at Western Rock with that lip on it. And so when I go to put those, I don't even know what to call them, but those racks on both sides that go like this.
Wing walls.
Wing walls.
And I wouldn't do wing walls.
No.
If you do those wing walls, it just creates a place where the cows just walk right over them.
Uh-huh. You almost always still have to put in a T-post, put wire.
I just put poles right up to the. Yeah, that's why.
Well, my thing was.
Because the cows can't.
Right.
You know, burn.
If we get some large double wide trailer that wants to go through there, that was the whole thing with the wing. But if I guess there's gate there or something that we can remove.
Well, at least one side, we've got to have something so we can open and get horses and stuff down into the canyon without walking over the cattle guard.
So that block there, if we wanted to put a bigger cattle guard in there, is big enough to just scoop those things over and put another section in there if we want.
Foot will accommodate about everything that comes along.
Yeah.
If you're going to leave those gates here, I'd like to see them level.
Yeah.
They look kind of shocking out.
Right.
Okay, so there needs to be a gate there for them to
fenced over to one side, and then actually we either need to get there from one side or another.
I think that if on one side of that, I don't know, you know, where it's metal on one side, if we had some, like, 8-inch well casing that you could weld to it so you could have a metal pole that could be actually removed and lift out of it, that the gate could tie to and one side be solid and one be where you could open a gate and pull a big metal pole out.
Something removable.
So yeah, something removable.
If we have, you know, a 16-foot or 18-foot something or other that goes through there, we're not having to disassemble a huge deal.
I didn't catch what this is now.
It's a drip fence.
Meadow Canyon Road.
So there's a couple places up Meadow Canyon that needed culverts. Alan Steed, he told me to contact Alan Steed, Clark Lamb, Larry. Alan Steed was working for Phil Hall, had his equipment there. It was, let's just get it done. There was the one where the road was washing out about a quarter, half mile past Broad Hall. That's done. A lot of that stuff that you pointed out last year where, you know, the pile that just kind of, the windrow that just kind of went down the road, I had him just push all that stuff in there, build it out.
Is that one in here where he's put the black culvert in what river?
That one I think that's in, the one that we already talked about. And there was a couple other sections up. The Cropper turn from the ponds going up. That whole mess there, I put in a new culvert there and directed the water down the road, so it'll end up.
So do we know how much he's going to bill us for that?
I think it's just a little over $2,000 right now, as we speak.
And so that fits within our road budget this fine. And do you have any pictures of the product line?
It's in there.
Done?
I got the pictures of the 5x8 culverts that they're wanting to bring up for the same price as two culverts at 50 feet long at $59 a piece. The culvert that was there, the email that I sent out, I said 30 feet. Well, I meant to say 40 feet. Kind of a big difference.
What size culvert?
The one that's up there is 53.5. The one that we were looking at purchasing is there's five pieces of 5x8 box culvert.
And the cost?
Delivered would be the same amount as what Schultz's gave us for two 54-inch culverts, which was somewhere around $7,000 delivered.
And that goes where?
Right at the main crossing at Bodunk, right at lot 25, that turn that goes up going towards lot 1.
Okay.
Huh?
You got dumped.
I know.
This was down the one deck from a year ago.
Yeah.
All right, kept it all. Yeah, no, it goes on the computer and then dumped it.
My computer, you need to talk about another computer. Computers. I put it on a hard drive, but trying to get it off the computer is something else, too.
Well,
if you turn it off and start over,
keep walking us through these things.
Okay. The turn off going up Crawford, you know, we talked about putting more road material there to divert the water across the road. I had Alan just down where the gate used to cross Meadow Canyon, right at the corner of the meadow there. I had him put a culvert there. Just you look at the amount of water that could come down. I've seen it.
It needs a culvert.
I put the culvert down there.
Okay.
And then if you go up the road to the north, there's a main water channel that goes through there. And I guess you should just go over the road. But since they built that road up, there's really no place for the water to come. So we have the one culvert that takes the water from the one side. I had him dig back quite a ways to kind of build a channel and then put another culvert going across Mount Canyon to put it out in the meadow.
Right.
So that Yeah, so Mental Canyon, I mean, there might be another spot that I could see putting the culvert in, but...
So pretty much everything is done but the Poland Road and the crossover road that connects from Poland to the Mental Canyon.
Right. There's a couple little things that I'm still looking at in slide that what we might want to do. But other than that, but...
So talk to us about those two projects.
The one in Podunk. The project out in Podunk, I had Alan out there. what it looked like originally was that the 53.5-inch culvert on the east side was undermined, and that it was a two-piece culvert, and it just kind of separated from itself, which kind of made a hole in the road. You look down, it just looked like it just separated. What we found out when Alan started digging it up was it's actually uncoiling from itself. When a culvert like that is made, it's just coiled up metal or steel. It's separating from itself all the way under the road. Looking at it, we're thinking, well, you know, Brent had mentioned build a big pond, put a couple little culverts here. The main issue that I have with that is that road can't get washed out. Their main water line, 4-inch line through Podunk, runs right through there. There was, you know, talk, and we priced it out about putting two 53-inch or 54-inch culverts there as a main waterway right through there. I think it was $59 a foot came out to over $7,000 with tax and everything. Alan's friend there in Colorado City had these five pieces of box culvert that he'd match that price delivered. It'd be three trips on a flatbed with all this culvert.
$7,000 for the culvert and then no cost to place it.
Right. Alan said it'd probably take the better part of the day to do that. Like I said, the main issue with that whole scenario out there is that main water line that runs through there.
So how much is the better part of the day? $1,000 or something like that?
He charges about $100 an hour with that track code.
So for $9,000, we can get it fixed in a really great way.
Yeah. My take on everything up at the ranch is I want to walk away from a project saying I'm not going to have to touch that ever again. You look at a lot of the things up there, you know, it needs a lot of attention. And to do it right the first time and walk away from it saying it's not going to happen again is a good feeling to have up there.
So you're not in favor of just taking culverts out altogether and putting more books in the road?
No. I've seen the amount of water that goes through there. That's the main, it runs right through Dennis's block.
Here's a couple of thoughts. I don't know that we have a lot of choice on this one, but I think you need to keep them as high up as we can, and that's worked really good because it's settled in the uphill side already.
We've talked about, the engineering that goes on up there. We've talked about putting it high and putting, you know, 3-4 feet of good size rock down in there with silt and everything that's going to go through. But, when they get the crusher going and he has the trucks, that's pretty good.
Well, the height that the past culvert was at when it was put in, it created a dam.
Yeah.
And so, and I walked back in there, clear to the back, and it goes back, several hundred yards that it's caused that silt erosion to soak back in. And so that's been good. And I don't think we can raise it much more than a foot higher than it was, but I just don't want it to be lower.
Right.
You know, I don't want to undo the soaking that we have done there.
But I don't know if my pictures do justice, but the way it's angled, it goes right towards the bank. I'm not really in favor of changing the direction of the road, but if it can be turned, 30 degrees to where So water comes in and water goes out. We don't have a chance of it being undermined ever again.
Did it undermine this?
Yeah. Because, I mean, it goes right towards the bank. The channel of water goes this way. But, I mean, the culvert was pointing right towards the bank.
I know. Here's
my take on it. I mean, I want to fix it and be done with it. You know, we did the same thing there at Broad Hollow over Metal Cane Hill. We put in culvert 3 years in a row and it washed out, and then another one and it crushed it until we got the one that, you know, I was present when we had Brent Robinson did that. But again, it was an old tank that we cut the ends out of. It has the metal well casing welded up at either side. It's been there now for 15 years. We've got to be able to find something like that for a couple thousand dollars. The cement sounds nice, but I just don't know if we can afford $9,000. I mean, some of these things, and we're not doing as good, and I keep forgetting. But
well, my understanding that they put culvert that's over there is an old tank, working beautiful.
Right. I mean, some of these, you know, if we can get some of these 6 or 8 foot, tanks and cut the ends out of them, and some of them.
How wide does it have to be? Do we need to?
And these, where it cross on the diagonal, like you said, so the road could go straight, and you don't go up and kind of S across it, but then you can have the road going north and south and have the water the way it wants to run at an angle. It's got to be fairly long, but, I mean, this would be a bigger capacity than we get on Meadow Canyon, which is, definitely we'll fix it and it'll be, but.
I took the pictures. I mean, I just bring it to the board. I don't like the cost either. There's a lot of a lot of members out there that are out there quite a bit. That is a main hurdle there.
Yeah. No, I agree we've got to fix it.
I was looking at it the other day thinking, if there's another way we could do it, but, that 4-inch water line just sticks in my mind. That the road can't wash out.
How long do we have before we make this decision?
Right now, there.
Yeah, the foreign tank. Yeah.
Are you talking about a tanker, like a tanker truck tank? Where do you get a tank? Water tank.
Just water tank.
The walls are strong enough to hold them.
Yeah. There's one laying around there. We just got to be better at finding them and finding them and transporting them.
How long are they? How many do you think it takes? It takes 5 volts. And how deep are they?
It's 5 by 8.
It's 5 feet wide.
5 feet tall. 8 feet long.
And so we need it, how long do we need it to go across?
I would be like 54 feet, somewhere around there.
That long?
So it has to go diagonally, not straight across.
Yeah.
Just to cut going down.
So he's got 5 sections, 10 feet? Mm-hmm. Well, 8 feet.
And delivery charge for that kind of thing.
Well, I know, because you're paying only a couple $1,000.
What about some of those pieces that are still up there at last session? Maybe they'd be willing to get rid of some of them.
They sold them off, hold them all off. So now they're more
closer
then.
Okay.
They sold them off.
You look at this box culvert, and if we were to buy them, you're looking at a couple $100 a foot. They're a couple $100 a foot for those guys.
I'm just concerned that we end up $20,000, $40,000 short. That's what I'm
going to do to
us. Well, and that intersection has needed work for a couple of years. I don't know that.
Maybe for 30 years.
Between now and next spring, it ain't going to walk out.
I mean, we have a few projects. I hate to see projects on hold. I like to finish things. But, we have that pavilion project. We have a fence project, the money around headquarters, which could be postponed until spring. We have a few projects. I don't see a whole lot of cabin maintenance other than maybe throwing a coat of paint on a couple of them.
Could we get put on, contribute a little bit like Crawford did when we did Crawford's area? We're making up a lot of that money from the people that that's served, Maybe there's a way of bargaining with them a little bit.
That never hurts to ask.
No.
Ask the members out in that.
Personally, I don't think that's wise. My brother, she's.
Well,
you go back to the phone out folks and you know, when they, it hasn't been too long ago that they wanted out of the association because what we go through is billboards.
They're not county users
for the most part. They're not, and we can't at least take care of the road maintenance. I don't know what we are doing over there. So I'm not in opposition to us, you know, talking to Clark and looking around for other methods to come up with some metal. We'll have to eye tanks or try to do some research for a couple of weeks, and so maybe what we ought to do is, you know, say, look, we're going to try to look for alternatives. If we don't find any alternatives, then, you know, what should we do? But that's at least spend our time looking for alternatives.
Yeah.
I don't know what's available, but we brought in 3 80-foot, 12-foot diameter culverts. We paid $7,000 for it, did never hear. That was a long time ago.
About half one?
What?
Still have one of them kicking around?
May have three of them. So I don't know, you know, I don't use internet as to what maybe in my salvage yard, but these tanks, there's three of them sitting there in Johnson Canyon right now.
Well, that's what I'm happy to go to the owner of the Husky in Johnson Canyon and offer him half of 8,000. I think
we just can't.
We've got to, I just said it before, we cannot afford to, you know, have it. We can't pay Alan Steve prices for, you know, just like in this. If we spent $2,000 for Alan to put in some culverts and we only paid Clark $4,000 to run his dozer up there as long as he did to rebuild all the things, we just can't pay to pay twice the price of other contractors in town that are starving to death that will haul their equipment up there and do it at half the price. It's just economic. And so, if those, the culverts there in Johnson County, I will talk to the owner and see, you know, he didn't want to sell them for the $100 that he bought them for, but he may take a couple of $1,000 for them, which would be reasonable at this time, and we could haul them up there and put them in.
They've been sitting there for a long time.
Yeah.
Probably
ready.
Well, why did I do this?
So, Linda, for the agenda here, I think we can kind of scrap all of this stuff that's under roads right now, and let's make some assignments for next agenda. So who will talk to who about what culverts?
I will talk to Roger Holland about culverts in Johnson Canyon.
Okay. And those are big enough and long enough.
Yep.
And Dale, do you have some that you can do some research on?
Yep.
And any other ideas?
You want to take all three of those tanks to make the one culvert or one tank?
One thing, yeah. They're 8-foot diameter tanks.
Yeah, they're bigger.
They're bigger than that.
Yeah, that'd be well within the
They may need two of them to go long enough.
That's what I wonder. Yeah, you'd have to weld them and put it. Yeah, well, that could be a spot welding or would it have to be steamed all around?
It should be steamed in the middle just so dirt doesn't start working down through it.
That's kind of the move of current problem. But I think it's one and a half. So there we go. Can you give me the name of that person that does the work out there for $165 an hour? What's it? For a backhoe? Well, for, you know, trackhoe or whatever you do. He's in Orderville. Okay, thank you.
Brent Palmer, $0 per hour. Sorry if you're listening, Brent. He's a really good deal.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's not supposed to be running up for $0 an hour. But he does. The tractor's supposed to take off a long time ago. We barely make payments on it.
So, we need to also, the second item on here is the culvert in the crossover. That's that crossover there, Kyle. From John Brown to Metal Canyon.
Oh, yeah, Brad was working on that one.
Oh, yeah, Cold Road.
We need to get that one done this year.
and I think Brent and some of the people were willing to help with that. But all of you can probably help spread that around.
Okay.
And
so now what are we doing out there? I know there was kind of a washout up
yeah.
there, but
There's a place where the road used to cross, and there's nothing there now, and that's why these new big culverts, the main culverts, the ones that are down there at headquarters, usable ones, need to go.
Okay.
It will be.
Brent
had a lot of it.
They'll haul them over to pull down.
Yeah.
We're coming back.
Right. It's not too bad.
I'm just a big tip on that one.
So I already talked to BLM about us reestablishing that old alignment. They're fine with it.
Is that something I should take blade up and clean up and make
it? It's enough of a hole. I don't think you can run the blade through it or you want to until you put those in once you put the blade. Once you
get it.
Once you put those culverts in, then you ought to run the blade all over the whole thing.
Okay.
The entire road will be right back to the
What are you telling me? I didn't say true G, take all that.
It's a really narrow road going down into that cut.
Insurance.
Get your car coming out.
Okay.
And
the
phone
room.
Okay.
Great discussion. Good.
I got the grader moved down to brought all additional cleanup work coming down. I don't know when the rock pressure is going to be here, but on some of these areas where we put culverts in, I want to do some rock work and kind of stir it up a little bit of the ground. But now that we're getting into the wet season, I think I can move that grader a little bit more.
Great. Perfect time.
I thought it was a month or two ago. We were going to spend quite a few hours on the grade, run all the roads. Have any of the roads been run so far this year?
No.
Is that acceptable to the board, or do we want to do the grader?
Bob, have you run every road?
Yep.
Good deal. Good deal. I think this is a year, every 3 years we ought to run every road that there is to be run just to keep the weeds and the stuff back off of them. I know, like, Steve lived in Average's Locks, they're up on top. He told me he couldn't even get there drive along right now just because they've stuffed off a little bit. But I think there's a lot of them inside Canyon and stuff that need some action. And so I think you need to kind of look and see, okay, every week I'm going to try to get in, 10 hours straight of work or 15 hours. I don't know what's possible, but just start making it a priority when you get the right amount of moisture in them.
Yeah.
Well, that's what that
is. Now we're getting
some
rain. Dropping almost everything else and going after it when you have the moisture really makes
right.
the sense.
Okay, I don't think you can do that hour a day. I think once you get the thing cracked up, we should do it 8 or 10 hours.
Yeah, that's your day to day.
Spend the day at, yeah.
Yeah, one day a week, I go on the grader. And the moisture, right?
You got the moisture big.
Well, we did that. I mean, with as dry as it's been, then I just powder apart, but now that there's some moisture and stuff.
Good loads of mud.
Okay. Any more road discussions?
Do we know anything about that ATV road?
No, I forgot about that.
The
road going up to the F7, last time I was quite a bit of repair. Can you go in there?
I need to get with Larry and see if he could go up there. We just need to get a backhoe up there. Or somebody and take a couple chunks out of the side of that. It's just a lot of material to take all the way across the road. But there's a couple spots up there that, it's real steep, starting to slough off up there.
Kind of makes it go out around and give you a heart attack when you do it.
come up. Item two, Brent was going to file with the BLM for an ATV trail in Broad Hollow and also to establish the road between Meadow Canyon and Slide Canyon, about lot number 200. And this year was a good chance to see that a road across there would allow transportation about 60 days longer than the end of Broad Hollow up over the top.
We should put that as separate items. So there's an ATV road parallel to the Meadow Canyon road. That's what this item.
That's the Apple road.
Number three. That's all on private property.
My then question is, what if we have filed on the BLM those two items and he said you were?
I doubt it. So in the new item three is a
Meadow Slide
permit off. BLM permit or application. So he needs to, somebody needs to apply for a Title V right of way from Broad Hollow to Slide Canyon.
No, Meadow Canyon to,
to
Slide Canyon.
Just to Broad Hollow.
Oh, to Broad Hollow.
You're for Broad Hollow.
Up for Broad Hollow.
Meadow Canyon to Upper Broad Hollow.
Yeah, right. We were talking about the safe road across from when that part goes into the
I meant to announce that to be doing that time.
Okay.
Is this the road we're talking about that goes by his property?
Yes.
Okay.
Not the valley.
It was commonly erroneously called the road to Normal.
Right.
It was probably as critical a road as we have.
You think
well, that's another access.
The friend could say, take fire reasons and
exactly.
Communication.
Yeah,
it could be.
Are you still thinking that that's the best route?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the only
into the cabin, sure. Upper cabins?
Yeah.
Well, I thought that it was the road that would come along up through
the valley.
The valley.
Which valley?
Broad Hollow.
Right by the corner of Branch Lot and on up through that valley.
That's what he talked about, an ATV road, not a car road, but an ATV road.
Oh, I thought that was going to be a regular road.
I'm not thinking right now. We're talking about ATV. There's a huge cut there. Have you been there lately?
I think the ATV playground is
there. I think that's what he had in mind.
The road, I think, needs to be up on top.
Yeah, well, he should kind of have it that south-facing where it stays most often.
Lot 112 to lot 200.
Would that ATV road go right by Leaf Springs?
I won't.
Would that ATV road go right by Leaf Springs?
No, it depends on the other side of the wash.
Oh, okay.
Where you can drive it up there to where it's washed out in the gully. Okay, so lot 112 to 200, Dale?
Yes.
So let's put that in the number three.
Is that item number three still?
That's the Title V road.
That's the
Title V
road.
Okay. Yes. We still have that.
Larry and I and the family
now three.
Walk to the flagpole.
Okay, so we got the ATV road on private property.
Tricky walk up
the Title V request. Then we'll go from lot one.
Do we need to have something about the 54 we have?
Yeah, we still need somebody to try to get the GPS for the Title V.
I mean, GPS marks.
Okay. If we had GPS readings every 200 feet or something, that's what we need for the Title V to be able to tell them.
The same idea for when we did all the roads and GPS all the roads. Just a unit that I held.
Yeah.
And we drove the roads and it recorded
everything. But they aren't going to require anything more than a map.
I mean, yeah,
you take a picture from that and put it right on the map.
You take a map and you draw it on it. And so let's assign Jody to do that.
Okay.
Because
yes,
don't
on
draw it on the map.
No.
Jody is going to apply for the Title V.
Yeah.
And she will fill out the 67 forms, of which one of them is a map.
whatever it takes, because I think there's probably no board member better at paperwork than you.
Yeah. I don't know,
The county has fought a real battle for years and years and years and war, and it's wonderful. But if you drive it today, you can't hardly get across it. And I'm wondering if there's a time that the squeaky wheel begins to squeak and help the county. They did all the legal stuff and they won. I think now the citizens have got to strengthen the county, compliment them on what they've done, and now get some improvement on that. Even to the point of preparing petitions so that everybody that drives that road, members, non-members, visitors, car renters, whoever, and begin to document and help to get some improvements on that road.
I think on Adam,
you can really tell where the gravel's been washed off that road. Because, boy, it was pretty skittish a lot of places.
I think we've got to help the county.
And I think that will start because now we've got weather. That's what we're going to do. Because we didn't have any weather on yet. So if we can, as soon as we get the weather,
what time they have the funds to oil it.
Sure.
To where the gravel pit is now.
Don't have
it. We need to more, but I mean, it was so, they have.
Well, okay, time out. I put my commissioner hat on and explained to y'all, the county does not have funds to improve roads. So you can petition all you want and scream all you want and write 10,000 letters, and I can guarantee you that this commission will not favor the vote. So that ain't going to happen.
Maybe not favor the vote.
The county does intend on and recognizes the fact that maintenance has been deferred on these roads and will continue to use their resources to improve it. And I do think that you'll see many gradual improvements that are underway. And if you think that writing a lot of petitions and stuff will help that, go for it. But I personally don't.
They're very well aware.
Yeah. You want to band together as landowners and try to help create a special improvement district or something to actually help generate the funds to improve it, the county would certainly respect and assist that to help make something go forward. And so, and then the only other thing that that the county is trying to do, but have not seen any great sources of funding for yet, is occasionally there are funds available that will help make road improvements if they go to specific public destinations. So, for example, the Coral Peak Sand Dunes State Park, those roads out there was the funds that were originally generated because they went to a state park. And now we're trying to work to repave that road. So those are, some of the things that we're struggling with. But I can promise you that the county will not use general taxpayers' monies to make road improvements in this commission. And so it will come down to fuel taxes is what maintains roads. And so, the monies that we get from fuel taxes can sure be used with a lot of discretion, more on this road, less on that road. And so, Deer Springs users, squeaky wheel already got them, ahead of the pack priority on the maintenances that have been done. Was the very first road that was bladed the very day after maintenance activities could start. So, it did help have some clamor and some chatter and some flight meetings with the commission, which Brent Palmer was very helpful with, and a number of us lobbied the commission, but
has it been laid since?
Yes. In fact, the whole road was completely done here about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, the road's in great shape.
It's
just more rock for the wet. That's all.
It just lost its gravel a lot during the hunting.
Dirk, is there any truth to that? I mean, it has never been a fully improved road anyway, you know. I mean, they just tried to improve it as much as they could, but then every time they have some extra, well, it's mostly labor, you know. And right now, Cedar Mountain, because of all the damage up there, has been the highest priority for road problems. So if you want to, if you think you can ever match the level of complaining that Cedar Mountain does, I would invite you to try. But
even the highway over Cedar Mountain isn't really.
Yeah. So anyhow, that's just a little bit about how the finances work. So I would say if you want to see some better maintenance, it's already a priority. It's already being done.
They are advertising for the...
Well, I'm not listing that out, but we awarded the contract to at the Alba, which is the intersection of where the Student Power Road comes into and goes out to Glendale and Alton. And we've contracted for basically 5 years worth of gravel. And I think we got a rate of $4.23 a ton.
Yeah. So
if you're looking for reference points to what's really good. And so we're going to begin stockpiling now. We awarded that bid last Friday. And we'll begin to use those materials out on the roads, as you know. But we're probably not going to pay extra contractors to do it. We're not going to pay a lot of overtime to do it. You know, we've got to make it fit within the budget that we have. So road improvements will be forthcoming. I like the idea of at least being thankful for what has been done while you're asking for more, because that will be received a lot better than...
Can I put my sign back up?
Otherwise...
It still happens.
I don't think so. And if you want to see road improvements like asphalt, it's going to come down to either some special programs that can be available or working special improvement districts. Okay, that's enough of that.
Okay, can we have that activity now?
Yes.
And we move on to the activities.
Yes.
Okay. So, Linda and Paul, tell us what happened on 4th of July since I wasn't there.
There were activities in July. We had a good turnout.
How many do you think?
25, maybe.
Okay.
Not so much members, but people from town. We had water blending contests and spitting contests and water bowling wars and, I mean, 4th of July activities. Had a good barbecue. It was a good time.
What do you mean, people from town?
Friends from town. Amen.
Do they pay? Do they pay for barbecue? Do they...
No.
The ranch furnished those things?
Yeah.
Were you there, Ken?
No. No. It was Rod Johnson and his family was there. Joe and Candy Jose were there. The Turleys were there, but they had their own agenda. I mean, there were more members than friends from town, but like the Jensens, they've been coming there for 3 years straight. It was kind of nice to have them out there, but it was good.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, that was on the 4th, on Monday?
Yeah.
And it did include dinner?
There was hamburgers and hot dogs. Yeah, it was, a lot of people brought
potluck.
Mm-hmm. I think we supplied the hamburgers and hot dogs. And then, of course, made potato salad.
Because you won't eat anybody else.
Because I will not eat anybody else. I'm down, and she had the best potato salad. Just so I know, is this something that's not available to outsiders? Is it just guests only? What?
No, I don't.
I mean, there was a question raised. I just want to know for the future.
Yeah, he's asking you. Do you not want locals and town folk to go out there and be encouraged, or is that what you're...
My question was that if it was on a, you know, like Friday night barbecue or something, and think that we do have some fee to offset it or something so that, you know...
We've done it. The ranch has done it in the last 3 years where, there's a potluck, 4th of July, come do games and barbecue.
Everywhere was out there.
For whoever, yeah.
Okay.
I can see if I end up having more friends than members out there and making a big party for me, but it's been kind of open to anybody, right?
Nancy said, yeah, who gave you the hamburger? Is that what's being used?
There were some people that came out of cabin 4 that brought us down boxes of stuff.
Well, that's what
it wasn't on the 4th. No, we bought hamburger patties and buns.
Okay.
That's not a lot of money there.
Right?
That's not a
lot of money,
is it? No, not for this.
No. Yeah, I don't know what that budget is anyway. It's hard to plan on. You know, you talk to people, and, oh, yeah, I'm going to be up there, and we'll come over. And, you know, we planned on, I think, 35 people, and 25 showed up.
That's why I think it's more of a potluck, and you know, you have stuff that
right.
can be used. You can go out and warm up more hot dogs, but it's a potluck, so
yeah.
The more bring, the more stuff, then it, you don't run out of food.
Same news that I had 8 people coming up, they wanted to go into town instead of going down the barbecue.
Yeah.
I mean, that was something that Paul couldn't perceive one way or the other.
Yeah.
It's unpredictable, that's why it's not even the Friday night that I don't know that it has any marketing advantage.
Most of those are Friday nights are in advance.
They
ask for that at the time of the reservation. Yeah. So they know about those.
Right.
I'm just thinking of the time that it takes Nancy and Paul to prepare for 5 people or 9 people or something when I think his concern is being under pressure to get roads created and different things or...
Yeah. Most of this stuff is done after the normal work day.
Yeah.
Nancy doesn't normally get things going until about 8 o'clock at night because they finish their work papers. This is on their time. In reality, if you want to look at a 40-hour work week, if you want to look at them being fired into a 90-hour work week, then it's probably on ranch time.
Every two ranch projects are 40 hours.
It's specifically on the nickels as far as I can see them. As time goes.
Okay, August 5th and 6th, the Olympics, we are going to have an identity schedule, so I'm going to have to send it to you.
Okay.
Are you going to be there?
Yes.
As I might not be.
Great time. I'm sorry, rain.
What day again?
That's August 5th and 6th, so we come in camp on the 5th.
What are the campsites you were thinking? You mentioned that at the last meeting.
Do we want to talk about that now? Or
they probably need to know where they're at.
Just
really well, I mean, it's just something I had in mind. Right when you turn off of the Scooter Paw where the signs are and you go up alongside the airstrip, there's a little spot to the right there where you could probably put 3 or 4 pull-through sites. Kind of drops down into the trees. You have your camps right there, and just pull out right along in that section right there would be some good
sites. On the east side of the airstrip?
East side of the road.
After the county, or after you turn off the county road, yeah. On the private, those two or three little open spots.
Yeah. It kind of dives down in there, and you know, you go another 50 feet or 100 feet, and it's a cliff down to the road, mm-hmm. but it's still on the west side of it. I mean, there's a good spot where you could put a nice pad, a picnic table, and a fire pit. And it's close enough, and I don't know how this would work, but it's close enough we could tie into the water system. The water
are you talking near where that fire pit is? Is that where you're talking?
No, if you're going down to Skid Valley, you pass headquarters. You turn to go alongside the airstrip. It's right to the right.
On that cliff.
Just on the right side.
A lot of that.
After you turn up Meadow Canyon Road, it's before you get to the end of the airstrip.
I watched it. I mean, there's a lot of trees. There's a lot of flat areas. There's a couple of spots where it won't dive in as far. It'll just kind of be a short.
Leaves the county road from there to Phil Hall's pickup.
Right.
A wide enough area on these sides.
So there's about three places where the hill kind of goes out. It's, you know, wide enough. You know, there's, you know, hill winds in and out of the road with about three different.
Almost in Cadell's.
I think, you know, you can make it big enough to where you can pull a trailer or a motorhome down in there. You know, it's long enough to get down.
Yeah, fall down.
Well, I mean, it's not somewhere we'll do for the street, but that may be an area that we could still.
Well, I thought we talked about that one time. But anyway, so 7 o'clock we're having a goat milking contest. I think we ought to start our fishing contest at 6 in the morning. Because we'll be camping, we'll be the early bird to get up and get some work.
I think personally what you should do is have an agenda already printed out.
Well, I've got it done. Well, I'll get it to her so she can put it on.
And I think we're real close to putting up on the website, a new newsletter.
Okay.
So that can go on there.
Do you want me to email it to you or to her agenda?
Whoever does the...
To Nancy.
Okay. For the newsletter? And we have our section in the newsletter.
Vance
put it together, but Nancy's in charge of that.
Okay.
Okay.
Email them to us.
Anyway, and then the goat milking. We'll be at 7, 8 o'clock is the breakfast pancake eating contest. 9 o'clock is a four-wheel trail ride. And I have to talk to Grant, but I thought we had that. He had already marked out where we wanted. So we want to get that going on that four-wheel trail ride. At 10 o'clock, we start the gun, the rifle, the pistol, the bow and arrows, and the slingshot. Back on that spot where we go, where we have a little shooting range. We'll do that one. At 11:30, we'll do lunch at the ranch. Everybody come back, and you'll bring your own lunch, but we'll set it up.
This is Friday.
Shotgun range is
in my place. Where they shoot down that patch of gravel there.
No,
we have another one over on the beach. It's where we put up straw. On the BLM thing, yeah.
As much as we like shooting in your direction.
I didn't know I had one there. We have one now. We put up another one. Down before you come in with the window.
I don't have to worry about it.
Okay. I'm feeding off this preparedness fair thing. At 1 o'clock, we want to do the Frisbee Golf. And then at 2 to 5, we have, I've been working on these preparedness fairs, and I think we ought to do a preparedness fair out there. And anybody who wants to bring their stuff to show, like, we'll do demonstrations on how to build fires or how to do shelters or how to
solar oven cooking.
Solar oven cooking. What's that doing? Cooking?
Mary is going to teach you how to do an emergency garden.
I saw the gym. That's the other one last time, the leader mountain. But I'm just saying that. But we'll do some of those things. The people on the ranch who want to come and then we'll exchange ideas. You know what I mean? So we'll just set it up as. Everybody come and do your little demonstrations on your or your little table, and then you can share what it would be best if it would be kind of coordinated. But it doesn't matter.
because a lot of people do different things different ways. But if we learn from each other, then we'll be better prepared how to get water up their streams, or how to carry water, how to get your firing with. I mean, certain things that we might want to do.
Do you think you can do something this year, or are you talking next year?
I'm talking this year. I'm sending it back. It's not that big deal.
The preparedness fair?
Uh-huh. It's only going to last for 3 hours. And it doesn't take that long.
I just think some of it, having conjunction with some of the dates, either the spring or, I don't know, 4th of July is maybe not a good time, but if you have the same, I mean, the agenda, it even piqued my curiosity. I mean, there's some of that stuff that
I'm seeing around.
Yeah.
Well, that's
if you do a mini thing like that.
This is going to be a mini thing like a Bear Springs.
For
that area. The other one's going to be an annual thing that we're trying to do. But this one right here is going to be a Bear Springs. I think that's going to be good for the members because we need to rub shoulders, right?
Are you going to send that out on email pretty soon?
I am. I'm going to send that off. Today, probably tonight. I'll send it over to Nancy, or I'll send it off to Nancy tonight. Okay.
You've got to send up like what you sent out for the preparedness fair. I can just go ahead and forward that to everybody.
Okay. And then at 6 o'clock, we'll have the dinner, which is the chili cook-off. So everybody, bring your chili.
Be prepared.
And then at 8 o'clock, or during that time, we can do the cornhole game. While we're having the dinner and hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll have a little contest. That's the plan.
Sounds awesome.
It really sounds good. So if we have problems, I guess I'll call Paul for campsite.
Okay.
If you want to spend the night. They can pitch a tent on your lawn, maybe.
Okay, very good.
Sounds smart.
Okay.
Anything else on that one, Charles?
No.
Are we to IBD then?
Yeah, but we're not to IBD because I didn't finish it.
No. That's why I said anything else.
Yeah. Any luck on it or? No, I haven't done it.
Okay,
sorry.
See? What is this? Did you get wind or did you get me get them in the pond?
Oh,
yeah.
I thought I was on it. New game cameras are up.
Yeah, they can simply kind of on that. I sent a couple calls about motorized vehicles in the pond. I was absolutely blown away when I heard that they were doing in the pond. Well, that's pretty hard to get them in and out. I just think that was a little bit above board for what I thought it was, and I wanted your opinion, and I think that we should, if this is appropriate, then we need to know it's appropriate, and we have to put our motorized vehicles on the pond. If we can't have motorized vehicles.
Are they in the lower one?
I was thinking that only deep enough to be in the lower one.
I think that lower one's fine.
I don't know why not.
Well,
is there condition there?
Or the pink reservoir, as long as it has enough water or whatever.
Why don't the pink reservoir? It's fine.
There are two cycle items, and they're going to leave a lot of oil on the surface. That just comes out through the exhaust and sits on the surface.
Well, I'll tell you, it's not that I had an issue of it. I'm thinking, I come from Reno, where Tahoe's is right up the hill, and they don't allow anything up there. Protect the fish, protect the color of the water. There's a lot of money.
But you're talking about the bottom.
Well, we're talking 100 feet by 150 feet.
We're talking about
not a lot of room.
Safety, other people doing it.
Well, and I thought of the fish first. I thought of other people's safety second. It's not that I'm totally opposed, but it just shocked me.
It's something that we haven't had.
Nobody did it before.
Yeah, the biggest thing is the noise and it kind of ruined it for, if it was on the upper pond, definitely I think it's inappropriate. If somebody's going to go mess around for a couple hours on the lower pond once every 3 years, I don't know that it's going
to I don't think everybody's going to bring it because you can't get a really good run.
Here are a couple items. It's not like there's a lot of traffic, so we would be crossing paths with other ski doers. But the other thing... The other thing is, do four-wheelers ruin it for me because I don't have one, I hike. And so you get in.
That's where I think, I don't think that as a board we want to start saying, hey, if we got a ramp, we want you to enjoy what we approve as activity. Everybody has
favorite sport or whatever we try to...
I don't think you can actually run one on the upper pond or the middle pond. The lower pond is deeper where it might...
Well, it doesn't matter, but yeah.
But it's just as mud as crap on the bottom and you might get stuck in there.
All they do is go in circles.
Yeah, what about the impact on the fish? Does it matter?
There should be fish in there, but it's not going to affect. Those that pump through the cool and stuff may put a little oil in the water, but not enough to kill the fish. Or nothing would be alive in Lake Powell.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's all. Every bone in Lake Powell.
Well, it depends on the volume of water you've got to, compared to the size of the boat. I mean, you have to put a hell of a lot of boats on Lake Powell to equal one skew on our pond.
Right. I'm just concerned about the foundation of it, and if we're going to allow it, are we going to allow it? And if somebody else is going to, is it okay?
Most lakes owned by the state have certain acreage that have any motorized.
Do we want to regulate everything? That's the Constitution. Do we want to regulate everything?
Yeah, we actually, there are some things we should regulate in terms of how the common land is used. Yes, we should regulate some things. I think there are no better than the state. The state has a certain regulation on how big an area of lawn water has to be before motorized vehicles are allowed on it, and we should probably go by that standard.
That isn't the standard.
That's
not
standard.
Well, and on the other hand, in 30 years, we've had one.
Yeah, but don't think if it's a member, it's going to be a problem. We can address it. I mean, if it was somebody one time.
Well, we're not condemning anything that's happened. We're not saying, should we set a rule or regulation?
No, well, don't make a rule for it.
Yeah, I don't write a rule on the book.
That's all the problems I need. So.
Yeah, we got enough. Okay.
Moving
along.
Seven. Water issues still.
Can I ask a question first? Can we go? Would you mind too much if I skipped to number three before we did one and two? Because I think number three is going to cover stuff pertinent to one and two.
I don't care.
Do you want to get it all down?
Can you do your work on?
Okay. Is that okay with the board?
Yep.
All right. I met with Dale a couple weeks ago. That was a good meeting. We did really well together. I do have a couple more questions for you, Dale, and then I want to go into some information fact-finding that I've been working on that I think now is the time to be addressed. But my first question is for you, Dale. Your lots that you want to have served by the Meadow Canyon Spring, are those the same lots that you're leasing out? Is that the same lots?
I like people exist. Whether they're leased out or whether they're sold, I don't know that the water's going to be on any of them.
On any of? On 111, 112, 113, 115, 116. Are those the lots that you're planning on leasing?
I don't think so.
You don't think so? Okay.
I don't plan to put water on either.
You don't plan to put water on
either?
Yeah. Okay. The construction of the spring rock for the pump house near the spring, have you decided what kind of power source you're going to be using for it?
I don't know what you're talking about. Have you got something to tell me?
And help you?
No.
Okay. All right, so right now you don't have any idea what kind of power source you'll be using for that?
No.
Solar works great.
Well,
I thought that was discussed.
Is
there
even
going to
be a...
I assumed it was going to be a gravity...
It's a gravity feed system. There would be no power there.
But you have a gravity feed system. You've got to get that water from the spring to the top of the hill.
What hill?
Where are you going to put the reservoir, the tank, the storage tank? I'm sorry. We're going to put the storage tank? There's not going to be an 8,000-gallon storage tank above the red reservoir.
Yeah.
Has that changed?
You want to know about what you think?
I'm sorry, y'all. This is what we talked about when we met. So you said the rich.
Sometime in the next 100 years, there may be a tank up there.
Right now, I mean, from what I understand.
Unless you come up with $400,000 or $500,000.
Okay. Moving along. So are you saying that you're not going to go open spring now?
Yeah. They didn't say that either.
Let me come back to something here. Okay. Number one, it's inappropriate, in my opinion, to ask or demand or require anything about any individual's private water system that they're going to be dealing with, so long as we're comfortable that it's not providing some detriment to us or that they're using more water than they have a right to use. So let's say it's not them. Let's say it's Bill Hall. And he's putting in a water system. He's going to feed some lots. He's worked out with the lot owners, and they are doing their own thing. We historically have not provided any level of oversight for that. And I'll tell you one reason why we probably can never is because if we decide as an association we're going to regulate and develop association water systems, such as the lower system, which is a state-approved system, it's going to be a very expensive system.
Yeah.
And so if we've got some lot owners that want to put in a water system and do their own thing, we're either going to have to decide up front, we're not involved in that, we can't endorse it, we can't really be involved in it if there's an issue. We don't want the state coming to us and saying, how come this system doesn't comply with our rules? We want to be in a position where we can say, that's not our system. I'm sorry, don't have to talk to whoever's dealing with that system.
I understand that.
And so far, there's not a system on the ranch that I think would meet the state's requirements, so other than our systems. And so the systems that we're putting in where the public is going to be served and stuff, we have to meet all those requirements. And I'm not saying that Dale is or isn't meeting those requirements, but that's something that we need to do. And so if Phil Hall decides to put in another 10,000 gallons of storage, or he doesn't, we haven't got him into the board, and we haven't said that. If you and your system, Jody, down there, want to have a storage tank, or a solar pump, or a gas fire generator, or it works out that there's gravity feed enough, you don't need anything, I don't think that we're going to go through all those levels of details of review. So
the basic difference here is the fact that Phil Cole is basically on his land.
Private
land, new exception easement is used around the water, whereas this one is probably the most valuable part and the most beautiful part of your land.
I disagree with that completely.
Okay.
Okay. Lot 1 in Pogon is water that comes out of Lot 1, Association property. It comes 100% off of Association property. And again, we have packaged their springs with the concept that every lot owner is entitled to a water right. And with that bill of goods, however we framed it, the understanding would be that they're entitled to get the water. Many lot owners are not going to find the water on their lots. Some wells are impractical to do, and they're going to have to cooperate with some other wells. I have a lot in Slide Canyon, and I had a well builder come out and say, well, you know, you're going to have to go halfway to China to get water here.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm working out to put a well on a lot that's not my lot and work with that landowner to coordinate and share some expenses. And I have to brought it to this association. And at some point in time, we're probably going to need the association, not for my lot, for this other member's lot, to grant some water rights.
And that's the way it's been. And
yeah.
This is, in reality, the one that was done on lot one was done without ever bringing it up to the ranch. And, you know, just because historically that's the way things have been done, that doesn't mean it's necessarily...
But, But what I'm saying is, if you're going to do it different, then it's going to be an association regulated.
All I'm saying is we need to have some way of knowing exactly what's being done on the common land. And right now,
I don't mind saying on the common land, there's going to be an easement. And here's the legal description
I'm not worried about it. There's going to be a pipeline in.
And there's going to be a collection vault. And that collection vault is going to have a fence around it. I don't mind asking those kind of questions and within the confines of the easement. And keep in mind another thing, so there's not a lot of misunderstanding. The meadow is not a sensitive area where there's only one place you can collect water. So Dale collects water in this place, then he took the only place. I think that if Dale did put in that level of infrastructure and somebody else then wanted to put in water and there was already excess water in what he put in, we'd probably encourage him to talk with one another. But could we force him? Probably not.
No, I actually think that the grant should participate in the grant.
We've kind of gone through that
okay.
20 times. And I'll allow for that discussion again today. If it's a joint system, then we have the right to ask some of these questions and say, well, maybe it's a joint system for just the collection box and the pipe that comes out to the easement, and that's all. And after that, you do your thing. And you do your thing.
Yeah, I so disagree with that because as association assets, we should have the right to ask any questions and get the answer to any development.
How do you figure it's an association asset?
Because it's on association land.
What?
All of our land, all of it's on association.
Right.
A water right to association.
And
your water right to association.
Yeah, and every member gets 0.5 acres. And from the bylaws, it specifically states from a drilled well.
So do you think that you have the right, because he puts a collection box on association property and a pipeline,
yes,
that then you have the right to ask every question about what's happening beyond
that? Well, here's what I think.
No, I want to answer that question. And we've got to have some foundation.
I think we do have the right to ask. Well,
we have the right to
discuss
what
you can't go through that.
No, I'm not going to go asking questions about power
I'm not
sources,
questions
now.
I just
and
want to
all
let
these
you
kind
know.
Of things. When we,
okay, 2 years
when
ago,
he doesn't know, and we really don't have.
Okay, 2 years ago, I sat before you guys on this board and asked you for permission for four lot members to obtain water resources from Lake Springs. The letter sent from Dale was
no. I'm going to interrupt.
Okay,
this. Let me cut this short.
I don't want to cut it short.
Let me make a statement. Okay?
When
you're the president, you can direct it differently.
Let me just
make this statement, because I think it will answer a lot of your questions. I had a bit of an epiphany when we were trying to work through common systems, which yours originally was intended to be. A common system at Leaf Springs. It would serve your lots and other lots and the association would
have
perhaps help in it. I came to the point with all the stuff that we went through, Dale, I said, hey, we are never going to get a group of people that's going to work through these common things. And in the very same meeting that we said, okay, fine, we give up on that. I think you weren't there. But I brought up and forced your system to also be approved. So your system,
yeah.
And I feel bad. I wish I could go back a year and a half ago.
2 years.
2 years? I wasn't here 2 years ago.
But I wish I could go back.
Let me answer that. Because I was there.
Yes, you were.
Because I was on board. I remember.
And you adamantly said, no.
Didn't work. Do you have water? Has the
no.
program, has the association,
no.
has the members been served and have we moved forward?
No.
No, we haven't.
And that's where when Dirk brought that up, I am one, Adam, I'm not saying that we've done everything perfect in the past or that we will in the future, but we've got to learn from our mistakes and move forward. And every time that somebody, I mean, somebody says we have not made three steps in 30 years, and we take two steps, and somebody's saying, whoa, we need to slow down here. And I'm one that's saying, hey, when we start running so fast we're about to stumble, then we'll slow down.
Yeah.
But until then, let's make something happen so that somebody up there is enjoying the benefit. We keep talking about these valuable resources we're trying to protect. We're not protecting or doing any, what's that?
Trying to utilize.
Exactly. We're not using them anymore than they are 100 years ago.
We failed completely, and I agree with Ben. That's why I said I had an epiphany at that point in time, and I said, hey, what we've done to Jody is incorrect. And I tried my best. I tried my best then to change it, which has been changed.
And Ben, back to your, when you were in here, you know, you were so adamant about protecting the association assets to do that. You were so adamant about it. And I was like,
well,
here we go and everything.
Here's a question for you, Jody. Do you want us to go back and deny your system and deny Dale's system and go through four more years of
that? Well, I'll tell you what. I think the time we spent on this, and every meeting we've had over an hour spent on this, if we would have had that time as an agreeable committee, and I spent the last month after our last meeting to put together some guidelines, if we had spent the time doing that instead of yes here, no here, yes here, no here, we could have been somewhere. If I had more cooperation of the Water Committee, had more cooperation from Dale on what he wanted to do, we could have been somewhere by now. We could have been building by now. But because that wasn't happening, it was this back and forth and the playing games like today. I'm sorry, that was playing games with me. But playing games, why are we doing that?
And we're not going to ever solve that. That's the epiphany
right.
that I've had.
Okay.
If we were in a company and we were forced to cooperate together, it's not an unsolvable problem. But the personalities of trying to get a Valcam in Podunk to agree to submit to Vance Green's interpretation of an ordinance, if that's the epiphany that I have, you know what? That's never going to work. I can put these people in a room for the next 20 years, and they'll keep talking in circles. And so why do it?
These people or one person?
These people.
Are you saying taking a number?
I think if you try to get Phil Hall's system through this process,
Phil
it
Hall
is not...
a private system that does not relate to this at all.
How is it happening?
It is a water source.
It's not from a well on this property.
You might think it's working, but who's responsible for the repairs? Who's responsible
for the actual work? They are dealing with it, and it's a beautiful thing that we're
They're dealing with it in a way that's not really fair to all the put-up members, but they have to deal with it themselves because
and
they proceeded that way.
And the only way that we could have done that, Jody, would have more than doubled the cost of the system. They would not have stood for it. I tried at the time to say, look, let's do this thing in this way and this way and this way. And there was no tolerance.
And
PODUC
system, as well as the upper capital system, is grandfathered in. Now there's rules from the Southwest Utah Department.
There were rules.
I put this paper together. Take it home, read it. Don't drink it at this meeting. This is too long and involved. Take it home. I don't have a copy. This is what the plan should have been. This is how we should have proceeded with this. So that we don't take half of the water, because we have no objection to that at all. It's just the way it's being done and without the planning and documentation.
According
to this is the power, and I think it's well worth the investment. I don't need three of them. Okay. No, and you don't, like I said, don't bring, you don't have to bring it out.
That's very nice.
But, you know, I think
It's state law that any new spring development be developed under the Utah Division of Drinking Water under Southwest Health Program.
You said we don't know that.
Well, I don't know. You know, well, every person has to be done.
So
when you have that done, they're going to require you have a planning and documentation, too. They're going to require that you have submitted plans and documentation. When you get those plans done, why would we not get a copy of that?
Why would you not get a copy?
Well, that's what I'm asking you. If you're going to prepare the plans for them, why won't you prepare the plans for us?
I don't have a copy of all of the reports pages.
That would be great. We would really like that.
No, you're impatient. You don't want to.
No, I'm not impatient. This has been going on a long time now, Dale.
What do you mean?
And you're saying, you know, okay, stop. But over the last couple of months, you know, and I understand, you know, you stand up and you talk and you say that we're ignorant and that we don't understand. You're right, Dale. We don't understand at all. We're learning. But what we do know is what's right and wrong. And that's where my position is.
Let's move on.
Oh, there's one more thing that I wanted to point out. Last month when we had the meeting and you declared a conflict of interest, the whole point of declaring a conflict of interest is that you do not know.
Absolutely not.
That is not.
I've gone through that with many civic organizations and many, many boards. You can choose to recuse yourself and not vote, but declaring a conflict of interest does not invalidate the right to vote. Absolutely not.
Moving right along.
Okay, that's what I have to say about three. And that's why number two, I still stand by.
Okay, I'm just going to suggest that, as evidenced by this last discussion, we still have no common ground, which is why I feel like it's better to cut the cord and let those that want to move forward, including your system, with them having the responsibility, the cost, the liability of that, and us providing basic facilitation by providing easements.
Well, let me say one thing, Jody, because just from my back on your system, I still have, you know, personally, and from my position on the board, have concerns with the development of Leaf Spring. The reason it hasn't been developed, and we talked about this then, and it's still the same issue, is because every engineer that has looked at it has said, you know, it is a very delicate spring that could be lost if it's not developed carefully. That's one thing that we talked about there in the garden cabin when you made your application. However, with what Dirk said and what's transpired since then, I do believe that, again, whether it's you or the association when they have money, or if some new lot owner buys the lot in Broad Hall and comes in tomorrow and says, hey, I have the money, would like to start working on it, I think from the board, I would like to encourage that. And I'm pretty confident, at least with you or with the board, that we can reasonably work through that. And you know, that I'm not convinced that you're trying to destroy the spring or that the association would. But I do know that the association doesn't have the money and isn't doing it. And so I don't want to hold you up from it or anybody else. And so it's the same thing with these others. I'd like to see 5 years from now, 10 years from now, we have more people on. Hey, I was on the board when the Podunk water system went in. I wasn't comfortable the way that it happened. But there's been more people drinking water and enjoying the 27 lots that are serviced by that system.
The one that drinks the water off the Podunk line. Most people bring in their own drinking water.
Well,
they use it to bathe with. They use it to.
But they still have more flowing water off that one system than the rest of the ranch put together. And yeah, in a perfect world, it should have been done to, you know, a $1 million system to begin with. But if we would have said until we have $1 million, we won't do it, nothing would be done. And that's not the way this country was made. We scrapped together and we learned and we improved as we went. And so the same as I think. In this economy, the only way that the Leaf Spring will ever be developed or that the Meadow Canyon water will be developed is by starting somewhere and moving forward. And
I appreciate that input. And I'll tell you, from the last couple of months, after I told Linda last month to take the Leaf Spring off the agenda, Well, now there's renewed interest in it. We're going to start doing it. We're going to start doing the plans for the water line, and we'll start flagging
and
it.
And if you have those,
this week and get those,
you'll help. Share them with the board.
As Dale has it,
he will share it with the board. That has been.
I've already submitted all that paperwork, so yeah. You guys have it. Everything would be pretty much the way we stated it would be.
So do you want it back on the agenda?
Maybe my phone. I don't know if that needs to be on the agenda. Does any of this need to be on the agenda anymore?
No.
I would say no.
Okay.
No, well, the only thing was when you get a legal prescription,
you'll need to have
to do the easement.
Easement recorded. And also, when you start developing the lease frame, you'd probably like to know about that.
We'll have monthly updates like Dale has committed.
Okay. In the future, is that what we're talking about? In the future, monthly updates?
I don't think the monthly updates have been a requirement of the system.
So I guess that when we did our
back when it was going to be a joint system, that was the thing that we were going to work on is monthly updates, and we decided that was insufficient. Which I support if it's going to be a joint system. It is insufficient. And so that's why we've kind of gone down the road of separations.
This information should be available to any interested member as well.
Yes.
I've never seen anything besides a very, very, very basic plot plan in terms of how this is going to be done. I've seen no designs on spring rocks that are expected to be done or exactly where the lines are going or anything like that.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah. Let's let Dale give his report.
As the elected director for DSROA, assigned water rights, and development for DSROA, I was asked to research and advise the company on the valuable assets. That was in August of last year, along with previous things. My question, Derek, is who has the authority to make the decision? Period.
On what question?
On the business of the Board of Corporation.
I would say the Board of Directors.
The Board of Directors. As any other business, the Board of Directors is empowered to make a decision, and in many cases it's just a simple vote, and then the discussion is over. We are playing games back and forth, taking our name off, putting our name on, jockeying back and forth. This is a business. We need to vote. The directors are empowered to do that. They are very serious and have the interest of the company in mind and what they're doing. Some of you should know that the water is a very delicate matter, and it's been an issue in the state for 150 years. The state of Utah has rules and regulations. King County has rules and regulations. DSROA owners have input, membership interests. The state water engineer has systems through which they work. The Division of Drinking Water have exhausted their guidelines. The Division of Environmental Quality has all kinds of guidelines. The Southwest Public Health Department has its guidelines, and on and on and on. These are rules and regulations that impose with reality that drawings are needed. So I don't think that you need to try and outguess all these organizations as to what's required on water development. It's already set, and it does not require you to try and advise the state as to what is required, what isn't required in water development. And it's not a matter of who, it's a matter of what. The state has the same rules and regulations for Joe as he does for Bill as he does for somebody else. And the rules are very cast in concrete and they're available. To develop water is delicate, and it's hard to do, especially if you have a half a dozen uninformed people bugging and trying to undo everything that's done by calling the state and irritating them and challenging whatever the rules and regulations are. Yeah, that's right. Jody wants to understand that I'm doing things wrong instead of things that we're doing it right, mainly because she will not take time to understand what's going on and others. So we want to try to outguess and try to...
That's an incorrect statement, but go ahead.
Jody's letter...
Well, and I don't know... I'm going to say I would like to not really go down that level of discussion either.
Well, that's fine. Moving along, the state organization's guidelines are very clear. For that reason, I had Paul Wright of the DEQ up there to advise us on what we should do. I've talked to the Southwest Public Health, I've talked to the State Engineer's Office, I've talked to all the organizations, point of interest. They gave me a Division of Drinking Water Guidelines, a checklist for development. Now, by the way, I would say I am not developing this for my lots. I did not propose it to be developed for my lots. My lots or anybody else's lots is totally immaterial.
It's not immaterial. It's a private public. It's a private water system. That means it goes to your lot.
No, you're confusing the issue.
Guys, I got other things to do than listen to you after. And if we can't grow up here, I'm going to come down as hard as I can on both of you, personally.
That's fine.
Okay? So just let him finish, and then let it play out.
So the state have written the rules and regulations. We have met with them. The system that I worked on in Bennett Canyon is one that needs to be worked on as a group. The association is the benefactor. DSRI is the benefactor. One of the guidelines that they set forth in there needed to have a preliminary evaluation report, which was done. It was evaluated by the state. It needed more work done on it, so that has been done. The letters from the Division of Drinking Water are here. The setting aside of the protection zone is here. Whether you like it or not, that system will eventually be a DSRA system, and it will be approved by the all the different organizations. Now, some of you can say, oh, how can you prove that? I don't intend to prove it. You make up your mind as to what you want to do. The system and the water source and the future of that area needs to be developed. I gave you a list of the 9 or 10 places where the water needs to be used immediately. And they would use maybe a maximum of 5 acre feet of water. There's 134 acre feet up there. If 5 acre feet is used to meet the culinary needs, it's then developing the water so it could be used for culinary purposes or irrigation purposes. And the grossly false statement that went to our members needs to be heard by some of you or a jury or something that would counter that false information. Information was handed out to each of you on the background on the spring, why it's there, how it got there, and a resolution was passed to seek authorization from Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association to proceed with the engineering application, spring development, pipeline construction, management of the water source. And progress was voted no. That's still, the water's there, and it still needs to be improved. Here's information from the water soil conservation tech and other things on why the water needs to be improved. The next thing in the list of requirements, according to the state, not according to an individual, but according to the state, and these requirements, is that drawings need to be made and paid for, and that contract was furnished to any of you that want to see it, that would provide the things that some are trying to demand without wanting to pay for them. So engineering the water line, engineering the spring design, engineering the details of the improvement of the spring, on-site spring evaluation, a legal description for an easement, those things all need to be done by an engineer and need to be paid for. Here's an analysis on the water out of Meadow Canyon. Here's other water tests that we made up there. And none of you know anything about it because you don't want to take time to...
Well, that's not true, Dale. I think that there have been a lot of people asking for the stack of documents that you have that. Not necessarily.
And
they're
available.
Just got that kind of I don't know how we can. Yeah, I have asked because this is all this act that we're going through. Again, there are things that probably aren't needed if it's a private system, but when it was attempted to have been a joint venture, many of these things have been asked for, and I don't think that they've been received.
Well, because they're not available yet, Dirk, until the engineering is done.
Well, and that's fine, but you make the statement that here's all these things available and nobody's taken the time to read it, and I disagree with that statement.
Well, I don't know how. These are the things that you have to understand. This is exactly, nobody's put in more time in trying to, Jody has admitted up front, let's say I know less than anybody on earth about water. I'm willing to put in the time and learn, and these are the things that her and Vance Green and Ken has, expressed concern that needs to happen before stuff is built, which I understand you're working through, and some of that now has been done since you made that first proposal, but a lot of it, like Ken said, the specifications on the box and some of the detail stuff still has not been engineered and finalized. I just don't understand why we can't move to this process more functional instead of just irritate back and forth.
Yeah.
Well,
that's why I'm
with you. I'm getting a picture here. You're talking about two different things to me, and help me understand. Is it a public system or is it a private system? Are we as DSR board members going to be responsible financially for any part of it or any responsibility?
Right.
Are we going to benefit? If not, then it's Dale's project. What is it?
Right now, the votes that have happened was to approve an easement for Dale to move forward
Great.
With his private project.
Great. We approved that. Right. Can you have too much
because the SOA didn't want to.
Right.
Because
they should.
1 month
ago.
Well, we want to, Dale. We just can't afford to. We do want to. No, it would be
well,
in
self-interest
of the association.
We could probably afford to go in on the spring book.
It's just the money.
That's
an
easy
question.
And in this letter,
I like that idea that Ken has maybe suggested is that at least maybe we participate in the collection.
That way we wouldn't need to buy into another system. Exactly. We wanted to furnish the upper cabin.
Well,
then we could go ahead and run the lines ourselves.
And agreement with that. Every one of us do not have $1 million to put on the table today, so we have to do it a step at a time. Number one, pay for the protection zone. Number two, pay for the engineering guidelines that you're asking for that gives us maps and that kind of information. The next would be whether I know personally or whether the association, we need to box in the spring. I don't know how much it's going to cost. I said I was willing to fund in that. I cannot tell you today what it's going to cost. If you can tell me, then we'll all be happy. I think that we need to go that far. We may spend all the money, and we may not have a penny to put in the pipeline, but at least we've got that discovery and research and knowledge as to what we now have.
To answer Kathy's question, because I think that I understand as much as anybody the far-reaching sides of the spectrum here. You made a proposal which was voted on to do a Metal Canyon water system. But I understand personalities be what they are. Some of the questions that come in that you take as a personal jab, there wasn't misinformation. I mean, I remember in the back of my mind,
we revoked it.
We revoked it, and so then we went to the right. All floundering, trying to go the same thing. You know, we're trying this, and it didn't work. Okay, let's try that. And so I don't know what the best thing is, but... And I don't know how to say, you know, Dale showed us a map of 10 hookups and where they would go. I think one of those was to your lot, 111 or whatever. The other 9 were to association location to benefit the association. He talked about 135 acre feet of water and using 5 to develop into domestic use, the rest will be in their variation. But there was emails and stuff circulated within a month or so saying, how are we going to let Dale steal all the water and take all the water? How much is he going to take? Well, that was some of the stuff that was answered in that preliminary, very rough description that was given to the board. I personally think there's more than one path that leads to the top of Mount Fuji. So if it's Dale, let him do his private thing so that everybody will give him one. So if something happens, I'm fine to do that.
Me too.
If it's do something in association and share the cost as far as we can go, and but allow him to then bear the cost in some of the pipeline because he would like to get some of this going. If we continue to make progress like we have the last 12 months, all of us will be dead before anything happens. You know, I mean, and I said that before. The benefit of the system that was there is Dale being up there and in the ground doing some of the on-site engineering and holding hands with some of these engineers and making the progress, that if we hire it out at market value, will be, you know, tens of thousands of dollars in, you know, proving out
something. Nobody's asking that either. All we want to do is make sure that...
But Ken, and I are, here's my question. How do you get Dale and what he wants to do in his envisions for 30 years to move forward with questions like Jody is going to ask, and like Vance Green is going to ask, and like you have asked, without it coming across in a way that then he's frustrated and upset and backing out, or the board being put in a position to say, well, now we're going to vote to revoke his permission and
nobody's saying that.
Well, that's where we've already been. Yeah. In the last 6 months, we've already done.
Last week we came out and we said, yes, this plan is developed for the area, the lot that he wants to develop, the 5 acre feet worth of, you know, and so forth. And if we use another 4 connections for the deal in the spring box, and then we can come up with an easy decision to say, well, then you put it in the spring box, and we can do 40% while you do 60% or something like that.
Or it needs to be done. It needs to be done professionally and proper for him.
Right.
And then get it done according to the state rules and regulations, not what Dave Turner thinks should happen.
That's correct. That's what we're asking.
It should. And for those of you who want to
try
to outcast what the state wants, or you tell us maybe
one time. I think 90% of this is all lost in communication in different styles. The way that Dale thinks and talks, some people with a predisposed bias of mistrust think that, oh, well, you know, they immediately start making accusations that he's trying to steal the water, and he has no patience for that. I'm just saying the way it is. It immediately diffuses every bit of energy and excitement he had to develop something that was a benefit of everybody.
It's cost us a lot of time.
I don't know how to go forward. I understand where NERC has started saying, look, let's at least, before the last meeting, and I wasn't here, it was voted for a private easement and allow Dale to move forward on it.
Yeah.
I know that that's still not his first priority, but I'd rather that than fight over it and nothing happens.
Well, and I want to trigger that the association is invited in to participate. They're invited in to all the information. There's nothing being withheld.
Well,
in fact, what the people may have needed to do is to set a day. I would like to set a day or a half a day or something for us to, in a small group, work through the water, ask all the questions, get all the answers. But to do so, I'd like for the people who want to participate in this thing to write off a check for $1,000.
Why?
Just show your interest.
The DSR pay for the...
Don't buy into it.
Okay.
This is the sales person's way of getting me to know that you're serious and investing in the process.
I spent 120 hours on this.
But I know. But this is... Now I lost my thought before that. What I was trying to say, all this
my stuff, epiphany is research.
Yes.
This is all the stuff with you.
Like I said, I had said in a meeting before, this is the kind of stuff that Ken thinks should be available to everybody. You're not resisting, but Dale Clarkson is not going to take this and scan it and put it on Advanced Green to archive so that then people can. He does not jive with that technology. He is not going
to
do that. He will refer... Over and over,
you
don't
have
files.
To do that.
Were you at the meeting where he went through this?
No. When he made his first proposal, Josie was not there.
Yeah.
I think
so. There were people saying, send us the map. Okay, this was a map that had not a single drawing on it that Dale was.
He was just pointing to.
But let me say, $300. To have a professional map prepared.
I thought, yeah.
None of you said thanks for that. And the same thing is true on all the other things.
You
have to say negative things.
I saw the map when I met with you. I also, at that time, you told me what...
So, slowly we're making progress, but we're still... 90% of the effort is going down the drain, and 10% is going into anything because of the way that we communicate. And all of us are fault to some degree. Kathy Cook being so stupid, you know? I mean, if I say that comment, I'm not going to get anywhere. Even, you know, I mean, we've got to not be, and I don't know if we'll ever get there, critical.
Yeah.
And understand that.
What if we could venture forward on the thin ice and say that all we're going to talk about is just the collection box?
Okay.
And try to work together
same time clock
on that.
Mm-hmm.
And the protection of the spring and those kind of things.
And I think along with that, Dirk, I was clearly understood two things. I think that it should be a joint venture. I think that DSROA are fully invited, and you board of directors, I think, need to vote. That you're invited to participate. All the information is available. There's nothing being withheld in any way, shape, or form. I am dead serious. I'm not playing games. We're moving forward on things that DSROA will want to participate in because of the cabins that they have and the other improvements up there that require their participation in this.
Okay. I love it, and this is true. This is exactly what we need. But our problem is we don't have the money. We just
have
to
have a
what did I say? What did I say to solve that problem?
We all pay $1,000.
No. What did I say to solve that problem? I would fund the front end as far as I can go. I don't know how far I can go.
But these are the questions after the first proposal. We're back to where we were 6 months ago or whenever you made that proposal. But I know that Jody was on the phone and there was emails asking a lot of questions, and people don't want to understand. We don't know step 9, 10, 11, but that shouldn't mean we don't start with 1, 2, and 3. But we do need to have enough of a thing. So maybe this is an area Ken is saying, you know, from him and, you know, some that are comfortable, but focus on a state-approved spring box wellhead protection and approval of the easement so that if Dale wants to put a straw from there to whatever lot he wants to, you know, then he can do that, and then it still does not prevent a larger pipeline or a state-approved addition from there to service all the upper cabins or something on Sunday, but we don't go back in and tear into the wet meadow to put in a second spring box, which I don't think is a big problem. I am willing, and I do not want to, but I am willing to meet on a smaller group, like you're saying, with specific water only to try to, you know, hammer through this and
get the meadows trained.
And tell the interpreter.
That would be good.
Because that's really all it needs is somebody that speaks Dale's language and speaks Tony's language. Because you do not speak the same language.
Good man, so far.
You know, not that.
You know, I think a lot of us are willing to do that. For Tony and myself, it's an 800-mile round trip.
Well, it's got to be somewhere where, you know, before this meeting we could have, or something.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I know that what Dale is saying is if there's, let's say, just figure out, and maybe just do it, if there's 10 people meeting, we can't have one give an answer and nine ask a question.
Right.
We've got to have eight given answers and two maybe 10 asking questions and playing devil's advocate and what if, are you sure we want to do this? But if it's nine right to break and one peddling, it's still not going anywhere. And that's the number one thing that he will get frustrated with. We have an uphill battle. We've got to have at least 70% of those there pushing forward, trying to make something happen, not people saying, hey, I don't have a good idea, but I'm just here to make sure you don't screw it up. Well, that doesn't get us anywhere, and that's where we've been on this water committee, and it's where we've been in DSR way as a whole for the last 10 years.
It's difficult if all of us are kind of working in the same direction. If nine are against and one is for,
from my point of view, and Ken Lynn is not against seeing water developed and used up there. Nobody has had more interest in seeing it go forward than Jody, other than I know your history and deep passion to do that. It's not anybody not wanting to move forward, but we are not. It's the process and the communication to make it happen. It's just.
Well, any of us who would think that we didn't want the water developed would be insane.
Everybody could say they wanted it.
Yeah,
the problem is we have one or two extremely large false concepts.
Yeah.
That's destroying.
Yes.
Now, all of you heard where the water was going, how much was going, what was used. It's irrigating not my land. I know Kevin knew over there.
And we've got to be better at the board specifically has a legal responsibility,
yes.
But even though they're today, tomorrow, we're going to leave this meeting, and there's going to be some people that listen to the recording that have a few questions. When they call you, we've got to say, let me answer your question. I was there. Or, you know what? I didn't get that. Let's call and find out who knows and positively try to work through it. Not immediately run into the rumor mill of undermining it. Oh, well, you're right. Probably conspiracy. I'll bet that Dale is trying to screw us all out of what we directly deserve.
No,
he's got
no,
to stop. But that's what happened 6 months ago. That's what happened 6 months ago on the first proposal. I understand where some of the I think some of it started, but it's still I can't explain that how it snowballed so far from what I know happened. There may be a few questions, unanswered questions, but why it snowballed so far off the truth?
Because some wasn't it to snowball. By the way, I'm so convinced that it is going to be, it's going to serve a lot more. I could put a 3/4-inch black tube out of this spring down to my lot on the surface. I have no interest in doing that. I have no interest in getting water down there for that purpose. To show you that I'm serious, I've spent thousands of dollars already to this point. And I invite your help to make it happen, not your help. I'm making up enemies all by myself without you making them for me. And so I have not paid for the 4-inch pipeline, because that's what should go down there, not a half-inch Block 2. So that's been in and paid for. The mapping, the time, the time with engineers, and I would like for you as board members to, this says Meadow Canyon Spring is for my personal use and for personal financial gain. Totally false.
Okay. We're moving on some of these things, and I've read some, and Dirk, because I wasn't the last meeting, can you please state for the record where we are so that we know whether we're comfortable to kind of move forward or we've got to change direction? On the votes that have been taken.
On the votes that have been taken right now, where we are is Dale has permission to move ahead and develop a spring box and an easement associated with a pipeline out of the meadow to facilitate his development of a private water system. If that wasn't, that was not intended to be private for his only lots per se, but him and whatever joint participants that wanted to protect.
So as a lowest common denominator, worst case scenario, are we comfortable to leave this meeting and progress with that? You know, you at least have the authority to move forward with that. But with that, we start trying to share this information, and as we can put together a budget and stuff for the spring box to know that somebody other than you knows what's going on. In that development, and we can come back to the board, you know, as far as this year or next year's budget or over 3-year budget to see how that can be funded, whether that's you fronting it if you can afford it and, you know, or whatever. None of us know that. But I don't want to slow things down and go backwards. So I want you to be able to, worst case, still be able to move forward at your pace, but with the hopes that, like you said, the right thing would still be for more than you to know what's going on and feel comfortable with it so that it is used for more than one lot.
I think Dirk's suggestion is that we made some headway in this meeting and we need to decide whether DSROA wants to participate in the next thing physically. Have engineers tell us what is needed on the spring box and do the drawings that somebody, and either you can pay for it or I'll pay for it, or DSROA should pay for it. Now, that was my proposal a month ago, is here's the bid, and here's what needs to be done next as far as all the state agencies are concerned. We can say we're not going to do it, or we will do it.
Now,
I think the people that's going to get the benefit from should pay for it, not the ranch.
Well, the ranch, but it's also going to be
something
down.
That needs could be done.
But we need to consider the point that how are we going to feed the upper cabin?
If it's going to benefit the ranch, like you have kept, yes, that percentage. But
on the percentage,
I didn't ask the rest of the board to face with my 44,000 to put my
right,
oil in.
Right, exactly.
Or the pipes and stuff besides that. I went to the state board and got the information I needed to, and did it with the engineers and the surveying and paying extra for that and all that stuff. It's approved by the state. And that's all that needs to be done. And if this is going to benefit the ranch, fine. The ranch ought to benefit, pay for their benefit.
Right, and that's
the word.
It's not
going to
benefit the ranch.
What you said thus far, Larry, in your judgment, is this to benefit the ranch?
If it's benefiting the cabins that we have, yes. If it's benefiting 20 members of the ranch, no. Because it's
no.
Those 20, it's paid for.
Right? Yeah,
it's paid
for.
Yeah,
it's paid for, right?
Right.
Okay. Whoever used it, we should expect
you
to pay for whatever we get.
Right.
Yes. Right.
You hook up with a city water line, you pay your percentage and your usage.
So if there's a water spigot at the fish ponds, if there's a water spigot at the pavilion, if there's a water spigot at the old family cabin, if there's a water spigot at the four cabins,
basically the ranch.
And that's why we need to, I think that his proposal was 10 hookups to 9 of them were on association ground and 1 was to his lot. I think that we need to know that. And the board then say, are we willing to pay 90% of it? Do we want those 9 hookups? Does he want that? 1 hookup? I mean, those are things we still need to decide. That was an idea. I'm not sure that I agree with that idea. But
I wouldn't agree
place to start.
Necessarily, because if it was just, if you divided it and hooked up just for the ranch 30, then yes, the ranch is going to pay for it. But I'd be tickled to death to pay a tenant on a hookup for what I use, you see.
Yeah.
I'd be coming out money ahead.
Sure.
I think there's got to be a way to buy it that if we're going to have 5 or 6 faucets around, and maybe we use 1,000 gallons a year out of those faucets, and the private people use 20,000 gallons a year, then there's got to be somewhere working that out. But, and it's just like a community thing, you've got a meter, you pay for what you use, percentage wise.
Well, part of the thing
talking like everything today is just we've wasted 2 hours.
It's been the most productive 2 hours out of the whole time, so. So Larry, here's another question for you. Let's say we come up with some of these recipes of sharing costs. Who is the one that should be the master biller, receiver of the money, financer of the money, determiner of what the costs should be per hookup, and all of that?
You gotta have a water master.
Well, that would be a water committee share responsibility because one person can't do all that.
I don't think this board should have that responsibility.
No.
But I think those that get the benefit. Now, yes, we're going to get the benefit, so it would be, we'd have some input.
So our water board should be.
But the group that's using it ought to consist of the water board, basically.
Well,
I
see what you're saying there. We have no water board.
As a water operator.
Can't do that either.
As a water operator, looking at the logistics of it, you know, what's the size of the spring pump?
Yeah.
Is there a protection zone? I mean, there's questions that, you know, when it's
how much water does the spring pump?
Those are some of the fundamentals that I suggest that Dale decide, because I think that's where the feathering of distrust comes in. Is if in fact, let's say Dale puts in $100,000 to do a system with the expectation that he's front-ended it and that at some point in time the association is going to assist with that. Somewhere in this process there needs to be a step-by-step basis where you say, well, the collection box is going to be $12,487.
Mm-hmm.
Dale says, okay, I'm willing to front end that. There at least needs to be some discussion at that point. What does front end it mean? Does that mean that you're, for the next 5 years, you're going to cover it, but there is kind of an obligation for the association to pay half of it, all of it?
But basically what you need before that is to find out how much water you're going to get from the spring.
Well, we'll get more than enough from the spring there's not going to be
most of the
spring.
Yeah.
I've seen a guy.
There'll be plenty of water.
I've seen a guy develop a spring up on up above Zion's, and he ruined it.
Yeah.
And
this area isn't very. This is not one that can be ruined. That's the leaf string issue that, here's my question, though. Do we go back to the board? Because we will, right now, we are not going to get 300 lot owners to agree on it. Some are going to say we don't have any interest whatsoever. We shouldn't pay a penny of it. We're going to have some that think, hey, yeah, we should pay the whole thing and give it to somebody. Do we go back to the board of directors? Do we try to put out a water committee? Would you say get together with a small group? I don't know that all 7 board members are willing or have the time to be on that. And there's some people that have some background and definitely have got to have some input or buy-in or at least be you know, either they're going to be educated and taught as the process goes, or they're going to fight it kicking and screaming that are not on the board. And so,
yeah, I think the board has the right to make a decision in terms of developing this the spray box and possibly on our own line provide lines to the caverns and maybe one out where we're going to put that.
And I'm comfortable doing that as a board, as long as we understand one. This is an investment. If we put the money into developing and engineering a spring box, and if we don't have them, if the association says, well, we don't have the money to run a line over to the Finley cabin, we don't have money to run the student funds, but Dale wants to run it in his lot, and for the next 2 years, he's the only one using 100%. There's going to be people saying, well, Dale's using 100% of it. We've got to understand. We were taking, you know, a first phase for future, with the end result of knowing that it would be the long-term state-approved source for the cabins of the upper end and Cherokee. May not even go to the end of the cabins for 5 years from now. I mean, I think we'll use the existing thing as long as we can. We've just now made some improvements to it. We might as well use it, but sooner or later it will be outlived.
We've done that with other things around here, so I don't know why we couldn't do it there, too. I mean, if you put the 40,000-gallon tank up, it took us a while to hook up to it. But we did the tank first while we had a chance to get it. And obviously, we run into issues back and forth. But now it's working and it's operating and it's a great system, you know.
I hope we leave this meeting with enough understanding that Dirk Clayson doesn't have to run emails at 2 o'clock in the morning to answer a lot of foolishness.
Well, he's probably going to get that anyhow because we're an association.
That's right.
That's just going to be part of the job that Dirk's going to have to deal with. But
only for 60 mornings.
So. Yeah, I'm going to your calendar. Do I? Well,
but that's your memoir. You write him out of
there's going to be another president step up. There's going to be another board step in.
And we lose ground. Yeah. And we go back and we start over. And that's the problem.
That's
we get to the end that we burn through people to where they say, hey, I don't care how much money you pay me. I'm done.
And we're getting there.
Nobody wants it. There's been times when you had a hard time finding people to run for the board. It's just not an easy
job. Because of this very issue. This is what happened. Nobody wants to do it. And it's a headache.
Everybody
agrees that water improvement is the right thing. Everybody has agreed. I've had nobody say it shouldn't be. Everybody says agree. Please get on board and be positive and help make it happen.
Okay, let's reaffirm where we are. We have an approved ability, as Ben said, in the worst case scenario for you to move ahead on your own basis. You've invited the association, however, back in to join with you and to follow you and assist you step by step and you to share information with. And the association's obligation there, I guess, is to try to show up with our $1,000 worth of interest and help, right? I didn't say $1,000 of cash. I said $1,000 of interest. You know, basically, if you're there to help, great. You know, that's what we're asking for participation. And I would say this to you, Dale. The only thing that I think will get us down a lot of misunderstandings is if there are different expectations about, in the end, who's managing, who's collecting finances, who's loaning who money, and some of the obligations. So as we go forward, just step by step, let's say, okay, this part's going to cost $12,500. Who can help pay for it right now? Okay? We get those commitments. Who is willing to help pay for it over time? We establish those commitments. So that I don't like the situation, and you've been in this before, where you've gone out and you've done $30,000 worth of work. And when you come back and try to build 8,000 of it,
that somebody thinks that you have done something wrong. And I don't want you in that situation. I don't want the association, and I don't want to referee all of the confusion. So as we go through step by step, let's try to make sure that we have at least for this step, here's how the cost picture works. Here's how the management picture works. Is that fair?
No.
Not asking you to do it up front.
With one exception, the board and the members have known that I have personally spent thousands of dollars up there and have not asked the board for a penny. There was one item, parkland fill, was a small part,
right.
But there's no thanks anywhere along the line for the other 5,000.
I think so. Praise that you walk out of
they will want it, John. I promise you. If Hale does $100,000 worth of stuff and he bills $10,000, there's going to be people mad at it because they don't understand the other $90,000. All they see, and I don't want to. I know. Be down that trail.
I know. Or somebody have not clarified.
I know one member that thanks you in very much. I think we all thank you, Dale.
Okay, hold on. And I'm not asking for that.
No,
I'm not afraid to get on my back.
No.
You don't need to show me flowers.
We stress that to you. But in the house, we appreciate it.
To simplify so we don't stay all night.
Okay,
I think there's a question on the engineering.
So how do we move forward, in your view, Dale, with participating in a helpful way? Because I know tomorrow I'll be getting emails and stuff saying, well, okay, when are we meeting, who are we meeting with, what's going on, when's the first blah, blah, blah.
Dirk, I wish that the board had enough information that they could say, we were elected to make decisions. We looked at it very, very professionally and careful, and we voted to do X.
And okay, so when do we, as a board, do that now?
I think tonight.
Then pass out the documents, and let's go do it.
Well, I think here's the only document I have.
Well, you went through a whole stack of documents.
Oh, you have all of them.
Well,
copies of
okay, them. Let me confer everything. You don't have copies.
They don't mean anything, Dirk, because they are not 100% gilt-edged. And so when somebody says, oh, an 80,000-gallon tank was mentioned, what are you going to pour concrete? Hey, there's a disconnect between a lot of these things that has to happen.
I'm going to leave it this way. Okay, so this is a proposal from TC Engineering, Tebow Consulting here in Kanab, proposal. This says a total of, let me tell you, it says on-site evaluation with a backhoe, on-site preliminary topo for waterline, preliminary design of the spring development plan, preliminary design of water to feed cabins, bid mount does not include the backhoe time. So this is for their engineering expertise and travel time to go and do the preliminary study of the spring box and spring development for $2,760. Or this one says not to exceed $2,800. Is that right? Basically what you're, what?
Okay.
So this is to study and do some design, or is it mainly preliminary the way you understand it? Preliminary spring development plan.
And the current payments be made upon the receipt of monthly invoices based upon the percentage of completion of items as listed on the cash schedule.
The engineers would be there and supervise and watch the backhoe and do different things. And the question is this of more value to our over 300 members than spending $10,000 on the whole job?
Well, I think this is the next step for getting it done.
Right? This is the step that we've got to do to know how much water flow we're getting
right.
In that spring, what kind of a spot, and really, are we talking a $2,000 or a $20,000 spring box? Okay, this is exploration that's got to happen next.
Yep.
You've got to know the water before you.
Before we know what
to make.
So to go in and do this, what based on what we're saying, because this is what the rubber meets the road. if we say, look, right now we're, based on your input and projections, we're going to fall short of our budget. If we don't have $2,800, are you proposing to upfront this? Do we vote tonight to cost share this?
I think that's something that's necessarily that needs to be done. So if we don't have it in the budget, if he would, we should pay him back. But I think it's something that definitely needs to be done.
So
are we doing it on
the
percentage, or are we just doing
it? I see it should be about a 60-40 split. Considering we're looking at 5 lots, Bill's looking at 10 hookups. So that should be a 60-40 split at this point in time, I mean, all the way down the line, up to the point that the spring box is done.
Well,
with the exception of the cost of whatever additional cost of, I mean, whatever part of that goes towards developing the line across the land that is involved in that, okay?
So from our conversation, Dale, that we have your 5 lots that you want to go along, then we have the Finleys, the Pavilion, and 4 cabins, so it's really 5 to 6. It's almost a 50-50.
Okay, I thought he was talking about 5-acre feet, which has been 10 lots.
He was talking about 10 hookups.
11
hookups.
Including
the one for the ranch, right?
Yeah, 11.
Yeah.
Total.
Okay, so that would be 50-50 then.
Okay. So let me establish a point then, when the when we start selling points off of it someday, and people start hooking up to it, then if we do 50% of it, we would get 50% back of that. And whatever hookup then, whatever we decide, right? So I think if we're going to go forward with this, it's a joint thing, and it's not a private thing, and we need to decide up there.
And I don't care if you slice it 90-10 or 50-50 or whatever. I think it's got to be like said. Then if it gets the point of billing out, if it's 50-50, they both get reimbursed 50-50, or until the association says, okay, we've built enough, they haven't been recouped, it now has grown and expanded into a major association asset. Like Dirk says, still the question, who pays it and builds it and keeps track of it? If that goes to a water committee or the Meadow Canyon Water District, that kind of has its own, none of us know that right now,
right.
As long as we're somewhat fair in saying, so I say that, where we start out with it.
How do you go 50-50, Dan?
Dirk, I said I would do the whole thing.
Well, I know
what you said. You're arguing and the foolishness that we're wasting time on.
Well, I know,
so let's say,
do you want to
build
50-50, 60-40,
how do you want?
50-50
gives board some oversight over what's happening.
I don't think any of us have a clue as to really what this is going to do for the overall system, and that's why I suggested that I go ahead and do some of the front-end risk on the thing. Not that I want to, not that I've got kids need the money, but we don't have the facts. And for us to try and divide this out and say, well, now, let's see.
So would you rather just have the board's approval and in good faith, hey, please pay for it and go ahead and let's see what we learn in the next 30, you know, some of it is we've got to get this moving. Well, we have some good weather. That's why we keep talking about this in January.
We're
still on the ground. We got to say, boy, if we get going, then would you get a backhoe up there this summer? And here we are going halfway through the summer.
I'm saying that moving forward on the water, there's many agencies that need to be notified and worked with. That takes a lot of time. If I donate my time, I don't donate my time, but I'm sick and tired of letters that one is trying to super guess all these state agencies so that Dirk has to write a half dozen more long explanation letters. If we're either all moving forward or we're not moving forward.
If we're moving forward one step at a time.
But Jody, because you've been communicating, you understand that when we leave a meeting like this and we discuss this, then somebody's going to say, well, why is Dale even doing this? Is this just a ploy so he can get water to his lot or something? Or, you know, some of these questions, or ask questions that are legitimate questions, but when people say, well, we don't know, we don't know that.
So we're just talking about this one report, the next report that needs to be done. That's on the table.
The spring
right
exploration.
Yeah.
I think after the spring box, the ranch should.
Do we have money to do that?
Well, whether we do or not, we should say that we're going to pay it.
Well, that's what I have done
for years. But we need to be half owner of the Springboks.
And the percentage is kind of immaterial because there's going to be other things. For instance, this is an engineered bid.
Right.
How much is it going to cost? How much is the backhoe going to cost?
I'm talking about it. Now, when I'm saying, Dale, we may let you carry that, but what we want to do is be half owner, even if we're carrying it over you, okay?
Well, what if we carry it
up to the point of the Springbok?
And again, the budget isn't going to be finalized, so if you put a little extra here when we get to the next step, our percentages will change a little bit one way or the other. So I don't think that's an issue. Right now,
yeah, some of it. What if we just say this conceptually, remote the board on 50-50 cost sharing?
And so, go ahead with the engineering.
For this activity, we understand that as such, that Dale will kind of throw costs at us so we kind of know what they are, but he will cover 100% of the costs at this point in time, and we will. Reimburse those approved costs in next year's budget.
Okay, I need to make a motion on that. Is that a motion that you just said?
I think it was a motion.
Can you? I want to second that motion. I hope you made a motion.
Okay, so the motion is.
Did you get that?
That we move forward. Conceptually, on a 50-50 cost-sharing basis with the development of the spring and the metal, with Dale paying for the cost of that up front, and the board at least being made aware of approving how much those costs would be, with the expectation that they would be reimbursed in the 2012 budget.
Now, does that go to the point of putting the spring box or just going through?
No, that's the engineering
I think it should go through to put in the spring box.
Through the spring box, right?
Yeah. What? Where?
As long as he can.
As long as he's pre-approving the cost with us.
We know it's very
critical. If he comes to us and says the spring box is $60,000, we're responsible for 50% of that,
yeah.
Dale's going to have to tolerate our oversight in saying, how come we didn't go get old metal tanks from so-and-so And so that's kind of our level of participation because we have 50% skin in the game.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then we're going through the spring box then. And it might be about a year before you decide to put the lines in.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You've got
to be a while to expand that sponsorship
on the spring box.
Yeah.
You've got to start somewhere.
And I've got to do it, and we need to come with it.
Okay, motion's been made, seconded. Any questions, discussion on the motion?
Why do we identify it as a 50-50 fund all the expense?
Because we don't have it in this year.
Of what value is the 50-50?
Because we're going to pay you back as soon as we get it.
So
conceptually,
we're going to pay you back in next year's budget.
I'd also like to submit that we pay him back with interest.
I don't know what the 50-50 total of it is. We're trying to pull numbers out of the air.
I'm going back to the number of the hookup.
The original concept of the spring box, and then the thing is that we're looking at 10
engineering
right now. We're going to use 5 of those. You've got to have use for 5 of those. That's what we're going on right now.
Well, and I don't know that it matters, Dale, because like Kathy said, let's say in the end we have 20 private connections and we have 5 association connections. If Dale funded 50% and the association funded 50%, if a connection cost is shared to somebody, they are going to get
they will get 50% of the funds, we will get 50% of the funds. So the main issue is we're just saying we're kind of partners. And in the
end, I don't know they really know how the hookup. What it does is when it comes to the time to say, okay, hookup number 12 is hooking in, how much do they deserve to cost? You've got input in that, and the association has input in that, and we together say what's fair, and when that money comes in, it gets spent back out until it gets reimbursed.
Right.
The main thing is not the money. I don't want to spend a half dozen more nights, all night, wrestling with this thing. So if we're doing it together, then I expect everybody to be positive and moving forward.
But I think
just leave this meeting.
But I think the 50-50 number is important. There are two entities involved. A cumulatively DSROA and Clarkson. And so if we say 94, and then immediately we get into, well, I'm carrying more of the load or whatever. I mean, both sides have equal right to ask questions. Both sides are hopefully going to get reimbursed as it goes through. Because, Ken, you know, just that's what Dale put. His original proposal was for 10 hookups. Like I said, one was on Dale Clarkson's land. Nine was on association land. Okay. The original map. The original map.
The new map is not, but go ahead.
Okay. Well, that was the original proposal.
We haven't seen the new map. So.
Okay.
Yeah, I
have. What new map?
The one that you showed me when we met.
Yeah, which
one? Is the new map. It shows that we have, you want us to put 111, 112, 113, 116,
no, no, no.
And 116.
You're adding a bunch of, I own those lots.
Right.
I have no interest in putting them up.
That's what you shared with me with that. And the Finley cabin, four cabins and one pavilion. So that was the number you and I came up with that day that you told me.
Okay, we're losing second minute. We're miscommunicating.
I know,
I understand, but this is something separate. The lake, Jody, when Dale is thinking out loud and going through and maybe talking, okay, now I've owned these five lots or. That doesn't mean that that was, you know, that he was planning on putting in water. The original proposal he made to the board and pointed out, I think this has the 10 hookups. I think that one was on your lot. There's the Finley cabin, the fish ponds, the four of the cabins. So.
Why wouldn't he just pay 10% and just pay
90%? I agree. Let's do that.
But
the other point that Dale has is really important because I'm also like Ben, going to leave here in a minute, and all my items get bumped to the next meeting. And I'd really not like to come back to this same discussion ever again, if that's possible. So let's make this really clear so that we can move on with other things that are very important. Although this is probably the most important item that we've come up with later.
We're not now making a decision, just like we did 6 months ago. It's not a 30-day decision. Next month's meeting, we will not have all these answers. We're committing to stick together 50-50 from now at least till the end of the year. We're going to try to budget whoever's on the board in October to cover at least 50% of them next year's budget or work out a deal with Dale to carry it for another year or whatever. But, you know, if we go into this, we can't go halfway and then spin out like we have every month the last 6 months.
Why can't you have something that you've passed that, like it has to be brought back up in the new board where it doesn't get left behind?
We've made a motion, and we have a motion that is legally binding. If the board passes it, they'll at least stick together to get us started and get us far enough to where all of us can know what you know, what it will take to get through the Springbok development, and so that, you know, we can, you know, make that much of a step. And again, what's going to happen in 20 years in any of our lives, none of us know. We're going to have to live in every day.
I think we're going to stay on the 50-50 for right now, maybe.
Is there any problem with 50-50 from anybody?
No.
Yeah. Any more discussion on the motion? It has been made and seconded and will not be undone. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Very good. I'm impressed. I may have to resign by Tiffany.
Burke. Sir? I want to close this thing down with a footnote. Ben, are you serious about becoming liaison? Because I was going to suggest that to you, but I figured your head would explode.
No, this is a big enough, again, I think that if we're going to meet and move forward, there's got to be some way of doing that. Again, I'm not going to referee. Liaison means, you know, a connotation of the word is positively trying to communicate to move forward.
Exactly right.
The same position as a referee that's just trying to call fouls on both sides, and I am not going to be a referee.
but you are willing to translate. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Okay. Next comment's directed to Dale. Dale, a suggestion. Don't wait for people to come to you. Sell us your ideas. Put them out there. I tend to disagree because I don't think we'd be here right now if that was true.
It's okay, Ben. Let's move on. We have been here for hours.
Yeah, that's
the end of it. Those are my suggestions. I'm not going to discuss this. You guys are done.
Thank you. I so totally agree with David. I think this should not be in the board to take up this much time. We should do this as a separate committee.
Yeah.
Well, sure. Maybe go beyond that and separate committee. There may be a Meadow Springs committee, and there may be
I will try to be available when Sophie. I'll tell you right now, I'm not going to drive the thing. I am not the passion. I don't have the time to be the pusher and call the meeting and all that stuff. If one is before next meeting, or if some of you that are traveling want to be here at 1 o'clock and meet in 3 hours, so that next meeting in 5 minutes we can report to the board and say we had a meeting and we're all on the same page and we're moving forward, and everybody else say great, good. Don't tell us anything.
Make a copy of all the reports that you gather together and leave a copy in the ERA office so that anyone that wants to look at them can come in and take a look at them.
Thank you.
So that they're available.
Yes, I agree.
Would that be
available if you'd like to do it?
Okay, can you tell me?
We may have a...
They're too preliminary, and they contain errors. It's a progression.
That's okay. Let's work through the errors, too. But just make sure you say that everything's available at Ben's office, so anyone that wants to come in can look at it. You're in what office hours, obviously.
And Dr. Dunlap. We're going to have to find a way to move forward without, you know, because, yeah, if the next 30 hours I discuss it is answering people's questions of what we've already covered up to this point, instead of spending 30 hours with Dale and the committee moving forward, we'll get nowhere. So
just tell them it's all available in the packet so they can review in your office. Okay?
Okay, moving right on. Anything else in water stuff, Dale? We've got... some of these other things here, if you'd like to quickly review through those.
Yes, I think that, number one, I don't think we have a water committee. I don't think either of the people, either of the committees that have been talked about are legitimate, and I don't know that. I think if somebody wants to take and file on the water right at Bear Springs, and this says a proper burn, I don't know what that is. There's two different water sources that should be filed upon. In fact, I can think of a third one that is much more critical than either of these.
Okay, I propose that we waste our time not in talking about it. And in the next 30 days, let's try to make some progress on the metal can, which we know is the most important, and see who or how the committee or group of interest appear, whoever, however you want to name it, to make some progress. I don't want to talk about stuff that we're going to start from scratch.
There's so much to talk about, and then you've got to get a committee on the side. I mean, you guys have hours and hours of this.
If the most interested in water want to get together, then we can
start. They come here and report. Yeah, that's
great. And we'll trust it.
Yeah. Kristen, what do you want me to do about it? Okay, I'll take that project on if you take me off the road committee, please. I'll take on that filing. You got
60
days. You got to stay there.
Well, yeah, we need you to fill out that
title. Title 5 first. Yeah,
we got to
do that one first.
Is there somebody else that can be assigned now?
Okay.
So we'll put IDB on hold until next meeting.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Anything else, Dale?
No.
Okay. Item 8, agricultural and wildlife. I'm not sure how some of these got under this, but let's try this way. So, gravel pit, ranch, gravel needs.
This is what you asked to put on.
I know. I didn't anticipate it being under this section. In any case, I think we're all okay with everything that's moving forward with the Phil Hall gravel crushing activities, and we've encouraged Paul to work with them when they set up for some determining gravel needs in the ranch. We still have a little bit of budget money for that, as long as you're careful with it, Paul. And we need to make sure that everybody tracks to Linda $1 per yard for the association for raw material that's hauled out of there, and whatever Phil or and or contractors charge on top of that is their own deal that we seek not to regulate. Okay?
Okay.
So we're all okay with that. Pavilion cement pad. So I looked through this agenda. It's probably my failure that I have not pushed Larry or Landon Welch harder to get that done.
I talked to Larry yesterday, and he said he's available. We just need to let him know.
Would we want to get some of that crushed gravel versus
there? And I think we should use
one
of
these.
We just need Larry to do it.
Okay, we have to sign it.
If anybody sees Larry, tell him to do it. And I will work on it. Fences and fencing plans. I believe Taylor Button's up there.
He was right back.
Yeah.
Did you meet with him Wednesday?
I did.
And any updates that you have on that, or is it all kind of what we talked about?
He pretty well has the north fence lined out, and the one going along the west side of the Red Reservoir had a lot of folks in there. Those are the only two areas that I worked with him on. I assume that he or somebody will know how to close in the pastures so that the cattle can be contained in three or four different areas down through there. I don't know if you want him to do the close in the fish pond area, or Paul's going to finish that.
I think Paul's going to finish that, and Paul sets his cattle guard there, right?
Right.
Randy?
The cattle guard, up to...
This is the round pipe one that Joe Bose.
Joe Bose, he'd like to do it in the fall. It's cool.
Okay. So I don't think we'll have funding to be able to do that, but what we probably need to do, if you see Taylor before I do, or anybody does, we need to get where he's at financially. And because he's kind of running on a cost per foot basis, and we don't have real exact numbers, but now that he's putting the fence down, we can see what his numbers are rolling up to be. So.
And do you want me to check to see what it was that we had?
No, we saw that right now.
Okay.
I have it right here.
And you do not want him to exceed $7,000.
Well, that's, I wouldn't want him to exceed it very much, at least.
It takes
another $200 to close in something or whatever, but I don't want to get a bill for $12,000.
He's gonna be up there on Monday. I'll talk to them.
Okay.
I was going to kind of work alongside with him to see this, how he does things.
Okay, that would be helpful. So anyway, at least we will hopefully be shortly done with having cattle on the forest, right, Dale?
That's the number one thing.
Yeah.
Off the forest.
And also for them to be going up in pipeline in all of those areas. Okay.
Being left open issues too? The way they're fenced in now?
Yeah, it will, because you won't have to open any gates for the travel filtering. And the cattle guard, we put it at the gut fence, will solve a lot of problems. So we've tried to design all the new fences so that the roads are outside of the fences instead of crossing them like it used to be.
I know there was talk about fencing in around the spring.
Yeah, the existing spring.
The existing spring with the...
I asked Taylor to give us some price.
Well, I kind of had a suggestion, and I'm just going to throw it out there. If that fence is finished, and the cattle guard is not going to be there probably this year, if there's a gate there,
you've got a gate to get in.
Instead of a cattle guard, there's a cattle guard to get into the ponds, but I was going to put the cattle guard at the other side. Temporarily, while that could be another section that we could raise cows without them getting up into the spring.
I would hope that before we need to move them in there, we can set that cattle guard that we may have to set some temporary panels or
right.
something.
That's kind of
right. So let's see how that progresses.
But don't we have to change in the spring?
Well, there's two concepts here. One is the spring itself could be fenced in. With a nice tight fence, or on the other hand, if the fish pond fence were all finished and the wing walk fences that Taylor would be putting in would in effect be fencing out the spring by doing that activity.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so probably don't need a fence around the spring proper if that's finished. But I need to talk with Taylor and see, about the wing fence, because we've elected not to try to fix the old west side fence is way too deteriorated.
His complaint, or not complaint, but his thought with taking equipment up there to get the line fence, the cows are just going to hit the fence and walk the trail all the way to the end.
Well, you almost have to not take equipment up there.
Okay.
I mean, it's got to be almost a fairly primitive fence. That,
yeah.
And I don't know quite how hard it is to deal with that, but that's what we've got to talk about. If he takes a bulldozer up there so he can put a fence in, then you have the cows to walk right up.
Yeah.
It anyway. But he could probably go to a three-wire fence. Up through there with fairly little disturbance, and cows would run out of energy before they tried to find the end of it. That's what I was hoping. Right now, on that, your thoughts, too?
Well, I think it should be a good fence. No bulldozer.
Right.
I've talked to you about how high you're going, and what I thought was enough to keep cattle.
Okay, moving right along. Just mowing the seeding. Fall, we discussed that thing.
Yeah.
Keep doing it. We need to mow. We got sunflowers needing to mow now.
Just so you know, I looked at the fields coming into the ranch. There's no sunflowers. There's a little bit kind of on the fields, on the well field. And where Broad Olive is, the cows are just up there chewing that stuff down to the ground, the sunflowers.
Good deal.
So that's kind of good.
Okay.
On the mowing, Dirk, I'd like to come back and set a deadline for mowing the willows and the roses at the upper end.
Can you look at your schedule and work with Kathy as your manager?
Yeah.
And email us a date when you commit to have those done.
Mm-hmm.
And can you put that as an agenda item, action item, on the agenda, Linda?
Yep.
We should mow them more as soon as possible. And so if they start back up a little bit before fall and some mowed, we can spray them.
Yeah.
And kill them out before winter.
Ben Clarkson Cedar, is that taken care of?
I thought we okayed that one.
We did.
I did.
You're happy with that?
Yeah, there was an issue with it's throw seeds. It's a little hard to adjust. I mean, it gets down to the point.
Was that credit given, Linda?
Well, I didn't know if it had happened yet. That's why I said.
I think it's well worth it.
So he knows where it's at, so yeah, I'll help you. I mean, okay. It's where he set it off, so when he needs it to use it this fall.
Grazing fees, check is coming in. facilities, cap maintenance, Kathy.
Okay, real quick, I just have created a book with all the cabins in them, and with the help of people who have been there, I'm keeping track of the dates of everything that's been updated, when they've had new windows, when they've had new doors, what the deck's been, what things are, so we can go through it and head it over, and some whoever is going to take care of it is going to know what year did we do the roof and what year did we do what that. So with your help of what you said was done, and I may be calling others to do that, but that cabin is updated with them. Looks like with the financial situation, there isn't going to be a lot of more improvement on any cabins except what has to be done. We did talk about some signs. Did we ever finish talking about that as far as who was going to, Paul was going to do that?
He said he had it under control, but I don't know where we're at on it.
Okay, I'll check with him
on that one then. Very, very good stuff, Kathy. I really appreciate it. And I really appreciate your oversight because it certainly shows in the cabins.
Thank you. Okay. I'm going to talk about that. We'll do that next general store next month. No problem.
Okay, Ben?
I really don't have anything on legal safety. I just didn't know if anybody had questions or anything on the film shoot that now I can answer. I was not here the time that several of you met the group that was up there, and it was very hush-hush. In fact, they called me and we're going to cancel out and said, hey, we went up there and everybody and the whole board knows we're coming, and they were paranoid, but Paul and Nancy did a wonderful job taking care of them and kind of keeping them on the lowdown and stuff. I turned in money on the...
My children were mad that I didn't tell them.
Yeah, no, I've caught a lot of flack in that. But, you know, we did finish it. They just emailed me yesterday on a bunch of stuff. Paul, do you know where they cut the stuff for his bedding?
Yeah.
And what was it? I have further, you know, now that, they want me to verify the script to make sure everything's accurate. But anyway, that's a whole separate issue. I just wanted to ask you because I wasn't there that day. But
can we know a date? It's going to be
I don't. As soon as I know, I ask them that again. They said it'll be on the, I mean, it is Bear Grylls, Man vs. Wild. It'll be on Discovery Channel sometime this fall. It's the sixth season it's the last episode of the whole program. There's the sixth season, and it'll be the sixth episode. So it's kind of the grand finale. I will let you know until we post it on the website, because everybody definitely will. The opening scene will be the DC-3 plane that we flew in there. You know, we had a helicopter there that filmed the DC-3 on the initial opening shot, and then, you know, we did stuff fighting down through the Pink Cliffs, and then we spent quite a bit of time there at my pond and on the association ground there near the hidden cabin that Everybody that knows Deer Springs is going to recognize some of those things. To the world, they want it pretty much anonymous. I talk to them about, in the credits, giving thanks to Deer Springs Ranch or whatever. I don't know if that'll even happen. They want it to be very nondescript. It's a wild location in Utah. It's as close as they're going to get. And then we don't want to know. I've told a lot of people, you'll recognize it, but even within the membership and outside, we don't want word to get, oh, here's where it is. And they've had problems where people have taken some of the clips and put them on YouTube, and then we get a bunch of the Bear Grylls followers wanting to come up and peel a piece of wood off the hidden cabin because they know that's where he overnighted, and pretty soon the hidden cabin's torn down.
Yeah.
They've had those problems in a lot of locations. So I think that for even us to know where it is, but, or to have some of the location that you'll recognize, but to not make a big deal about it, because that won't do anybody any good.
And were they on the giant railroad? They used that part at all?
And I don't believe so.
Just to put out there, I was up there a couple weeks ago, and on the right-hand side of the road, as I was going up through the trail, there's a stash of four water containers.
That's Wingate. That's not there.
Okay. I just know my...
They move all the way around, but I just found the same thing. There's a cargo box and some blue things. I popped out of the back of the truck. I pulled over. I have loaves of bread and stuff in it, and I'm thinking, did somebody lose this? So I carried it, and then all of a sudden, even that was going to be. And now it's clear out of Bull Valley Gorge.
Maybe they're
not
walking
toward
down the ranch. If you go. Are they there all the time?
When they left,
you're moving around.
They're somewhere between here and Canville,
you're there. Right. Losing more temper.
We are
already
winning.
Thank
you.
Dave's getting on the phone. Hey, Dave, are you on the phone?
Not yet.
Okay. Who? Somebody was a little earlier and they disconnected.
No, he just left and he was, said he was going to get on the phone. So.
Yeah, and he was, hey. And he's gone.
Oh, gentlemen, I'm here, ladies.
There you go.
Oh, there he was.
Very good.
A lot of the things on here we've already discussed, so I won't drag you through anymore. Just to let you know kind of what my priorities are for this next month is grade, roads, and brush hogging. And something I've been meaning to get is that windmill that's sitting over there.
Yeah, I had a call by Daryl Johnson today. I don't know if he can sell it, and they told him no.
Yeah. My plan with the windmill, temporarily,